This week, Xbox boss Phil Spencer has nice things to say about Sony's design and ingenuity, a nod to the Wii, and doesn't mince words on toxicity and tribalism. There's being competitive, and then there's being abrasive. Every console, game, remaster, re-release, online service is just a matter of choices by the creators, and those choices don't necessarily make sense to anyone else not part of the process. Joining Phil's words come the words of your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, about this and the rest of the week's news, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice, another episode of Orange Lounge Radio starting right now here live at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. It is episode number 845 for this November the 29th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts. Not joining me tonight, sadly, is Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She is off for tonight because it is her husband Dan's birthday, and they are doing birthday things, you know, things that you can do in quarantine outside with friends and stuff, but taking the night off to be with her hubby on his birthday, and hope they're enjoying the night. But joining me live, as he does pretty much every week, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was busy. I cooked dinner, so that took like 6 hours.
Oh,
turkey.
Wow.
So yeah, it was like turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, glazed carrots, creamy casserole, and giblet gravy.
Oh, wow. Wow. So yeah,
I've never cooked a turkey before, so that was fun.
And Thanksgiving was different for a lot of people this year, I think, because of everything going on. Was it just your immediate household, or did you go over to like Nellie's? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you would have spent time with the wife's mom.
I mean, I did go over to her parents' house to drop off some food after we're done. A lot of it, but
yeah, the drop off thing is big too. I think a lot of I know some families were doing like Thanksgiving to go and things like that. So,
yeah.
Obviously, we had a very scaled down year. We usually don't do anything, especially ever since my mom passed away, which is about 3 years ago. Thanksgiving has been pretty low key, but it was just myself, Alan, and my dad. And we knew we'd have to mix with my dad, and that's why, you know, in the weeks leading up to it, I was very careful not to go out and do anything irresponsible. And ironically, I ended up having another COVID test on Monday because I woke up Monday and I was like, I'm playing the new 2020 game. Is it allergies? Is it COVID? I don't know. So it turns out it was allergies. Phew. at least according to the test. So that made me feel a lot better, actually. And we did the outdoor dining thing, but it felt comfortable. Like, I know that's a little bit nervous because in some places it can still be pretty packed together. But the nice thing is a lot of restaurants out here in suburbia, at least, the outdoor dining is really spaced because they took over half the parking lot because all the other places are closed. So half the parking lot is their tables and they're like super spaced out. And it was really nice. So that was nice. So it was just us, small Thanksgiving, but I'm totally okay with that. So I hope all of you out there had a great Thanksgiving as well. And, you know, despite the fact it was probably a little different this year, if you did go to a big family thing because you couldn't get out of it, I understand how the family – I know I kind of went on a rant at the end of last night's show, but that was for people who are flaunting it. I understand some people have no choice, and they may have had to go to the big family thing against their will because family pressure kind of stinks sometimes. Totally get that. And, you know, hope you're able to spend some time alone in quarantine over the next week and a half. Plenty of video games available to help you pass the time. Plenty of fine podcasts and broadcasting just like ours out there to help you pass the time as well. At least the nice thing is about the world situation in the year 2020 as opposed to the year 1920, or really more like 1918. There's much more to do online and things you can do in your house, right? So
yeah,
it's nice.
Definitely.
Have you been able to? I'll get into our gaming week soon, but you know, since it is a long weekend, and I imagine you didn't work Thursday, Friday, like a lot of people with the typical 9-to-5s. Which, by the way, thoughts are with all of our friends in the retail sector who did not get the days off back to back. Hope you. I heard it was like I didn't see the fist fight videos and all that stuff. Unfortunately, there was a shooting at the mall. here, but that seems completely isolated from the fact it was Black Friday. I hope everybody out there in the retail world, I hope y'all made it through okay, because I'm sure it wasn't easy this year. But I know a lot of folks with office jobs had the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and I was thinking, wow, Loki, that might be a lot of time for you to work on your game. Was it a good crunch time for your game?
Yeah, it was. It was fun. So I got a lot done. A lot of the code stuff I needed to get done is now done now. So I've been lately working on just art and music stuff to go in to. I just padding up what I had already, because I have like art and music and sound effects already, but it's just I needed more.
Interesting. So do you think when do you think you're going to be ready to unveil this? Do you think it might be ready next week? Because you don't know about this, but I'm about to announce something a little later in the show for next week.
I mean, hopefully soon. I know I said I wanted to get it done this year, so like I'm really
TikTok
every day. So like I'm hoping very soon, but I don't want to put out a yellow text or yellow background tweet or anything. So, you know,
I get it. No, it's admirable. It's admirable. And no, that's good, because, you know, with Time to Car, you were kind of showing a little bit of the detail and then you were like, eh, you kind of got rid of it.
That was a whole different thing. So that one, it was working on it. And then it just like I kind of went the wrong way with that. Like I did all the art stuff and kind of got that, but then it wasn't fun. So that was the problem. Was like, yeah, why am I working on this if it's not really that fun to play? Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of like lost the idea for it. And then, you know, now, you know, What the Golf came out, and that's basically the game anyways. You know, the driving stuff is kind of like that. So,
all right.
We don't need to make that.
Well, I'm excited to see whatever it is you have in store whenever you're ready. I do think it's admirable that you are waiting until, like, your release is pending. I think sometimes in the games industry, we wish it was this way. Like, don't show it off until you're ready to go. We understand there's got to be hype. There's got to be pre-orders and things like that. But you know what? At least when you announce just before you release, it's like, you know it's coming. You know it's done. There you go.
Or at least just like, yeah, just to where I know that like I have a momentum to where I should be able to get it done. The good news, though, like as I've been posting like kind of big updates online, is that like code-wise, like I've hit my minimal viable already. So like I have a full game loop with like, you know, I can start the game, I can lose the game, I can win the game, you know, everything works as far as that goes. And I got the core like gameplay elements I wanted in there. And then now it's just all the additional stuff.
So,
whereas
so,
before it's like, I'm going to add all this stuff in there and then I can't finish everything. So,
like Time to Car kind of helped you learn, even though literally everybody in chat was telling you, don't do something like that for your first game. At least you still had that experience of, I learned some things about what I did like about the process and what I didn't like that you've been able to apply here. And it sounds to me like you have a done game at this point. You have something you could release, but it's not up to the level you want it to be at.
I mean, it's definitely not able to be released yet. Okay. But you can play it. I'd like to say that I learned my lesson with the last game, but I didn't. So, like, I didn't necessarily follow the best advice for that stuff. But yeah, you'll see. It'll turn out great, I'm sure.
All right. Going to our chat, because, again, we do tape live on Sunday nights over at VOG Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. And Akuma JP is in chat. Always love to see him saying, so is it really coming or is it Cyberpunk coming out?
The problem there, because Cyberpunk's coming out in a couple weeks here, so it's like...
Which will be here first? That's the question.
Cyberpunk.
Okay.
But, like, that's going to be a huge distraction, but, yeah, we'll see. We'll push through it.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get into tonight's kickoff topic here and talk about some comments made by Phil Spencer, who's someone I've talked pretty favorably of him on the show previously, but he really is becoming a voice I like to hear from. You know, I got to be honest, there's some people in gaming where I find I don't like to hear from them as much. And I'm not going to live in a negative place. I'm not going to tell you who, but you can guess. But this is one of those people I like to hear from, because the more he kind of gives his insight on the gaming industry, the more I like it. I was just commenting to Bobby at the end of his show, you know, the gaming industry has been kind of missing somebody like Reggie Fils-Aimé, right? Everybody loved Reggie Fils-Aimé. Even if you weren't always the biggest Nintendo person, like Loki, like kind of loves Nintendo some days and doesn't love them other days. And quite frankly, I feel the same way. But Reggie Fils-Aimé was always like, he's just awesome. He's some like when you think of like a guy you want in the boardroom representing the game, Reggie Fils-Aimé is a great guy, right? And that's why a lot of people have been trying to go after him ever since he retired from Nintendo, right? Now why he's on GameStop boards. But the industry doesn't have like a big voice like that, right? But I find that Phil Spencer's kind of becoming that guy where I'm like, I kind of think if anybody should be the flag bearer, maybe this guy. I don't know. But of course, there can always be several people that you can look up to and admire. But Phil Spencer's definitely somebody where I'm like, I am so happy he's running Xbox as opposed to before. We'll just say that before.
Well, right. Yeah, I get it. And so like, this is kind of coming from an interview he did with The Verge, kind of talking about just the game industry and stuff, and talking about some of this negativity that's in the industry just as a whole, or even like fans of it. You see it all the time when you go online. I mean, even like so many articles have come out like comparing stuff. Basically, you know, the essence of it is, you know, wanting the opposition thing to fail so that the thing that you bought succeeds, you know, that, you know, you want it to look like I bought an Xbox, so I want the PlayStation 5 to fail, you know, which is ridiculous. It's kind of silly. I mean, especially if you're a person that purchased this, you know, you're a consumer and not necessarily the companies behind it. It even makes less sense for you to be concerned about whether one company succeeds or fails, unless that company is EA, in which case I would be hoping that the loot box stuff will fail, but that'll never ever happen. But like it's silly. Basically saying, you know, he really wants to kind of embrace this, you know, wanting everybody to succeed. And that's why you see a lot of times online, you know, PlayStation, Xbox congratulating each other. And I don't even think necessarily you hear too much about them dogging on the other systems and stuff. I think they're just really focused on what their systems can do and kind of pushing that up. It's more of the fanboys that are kind of, you know, dogging on everybody. And it's these type of people that like do this for everything. Well, whether it's consoles, it's politics, it's sports teams, it's anything. It's just, you know.
Yeah, no, I was going to make the comparison too, that this does happen in other industries sometimes. How about the gays and pop divas? Do that, and I know you see it too, Loki. You've got to see this. You know enough gay guys, and I can speak as one, that you see this on social media where it's like, you know, oh, Katy Perry, she's basic, screw her, you know, oh, she's a flop. Christina Aguilera, bionic, flop Tina, you know, like all this stuff, right? And it's like, shouldn't we be lifting up all women? Like, shouldn't we be, you know, why does it have to be a competition? Can't we be happy for all of the
it's
great
pop music? I think people in, I don't know necessarily the psychology behind it, but I feel that it's probably something to do with people want to feel like that they're winning sometimes, and they do that maybe even vicariously through other things. So whether it be sports teams, whether it be politics, whether it be you know, even game consoles or whatever, you know, back in the day when we were growing up, it was Nintendo and Sega, and it's like, oh, well, they suck.
There's another great comparison, because I was going to ask if maybe some of this is rooted in where gaming culture has come from. I mean, you know, I don't have the magazines in front of me. I wish I did, but you know, maybe that's a trip down memory lane we need to take at some point. But like, if I had some old gaming magazines, I could open them up and show you that there would be these ads, giant, full page, sometimes multi page ads, that would be things like Sega does what Nintendo does. Don't. Or you see an ad for like the Neo Geo that compares, I think it was, I'm sorry guys, I don't literally remember what ads they were, but there were some that would like show the Nintendo fans as a baby and the Sega fans as, you know, somebody who, you know, doesn't look very intelligent, and so like, and so on. And then it's like, but the TurboGrafx-16 or the Neo Geo has power, you know, and all this stuff.
Oh,
and
like, better for the price I'm paying for that stuff.
So yeah, it's this was a part of our culture that we would read a lot about in the old magazines that now I think because it's manifested itself into something really gross that we've seen happen on social media, you know, over the years is that's why I love that Phil Spencer's kind of starting to put his foot down and say enough. It doesn't have to be like that. We can all be successful and root for each other.
Yeah. And I really don't get what the point is. Like people like dogging other people for what they like. In any aspect, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know where they could derive pleasure from that. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, trolling people because there's people that like trolling folks for whatever reason. I don't know. But it is something that, you know, has gone on for a long time. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But it is nice to see that at least the game companies are starting to take the stance of like, maybe we shouldn't get down in the mud with all of those people. Maybe we should just take the high road here and just do that. Not to say that everybody has done that. I mean, just a few years ago when Sony was doing this silly video about, you know, sharing games, which is fine. You know, that's a legit dig, I guess.
I saw that more as shade. So here's now let me steal something else from my gaze. All right. So that video felt more like shade to me. And there's this old quote from RuPaul, and whether you love her or hate her, she's got some catchy quotes. And there's this great quote from RuPaul where it is, throwing shade takes creativity. Being a bitch takes none. And that's the quote. And I think when you look at those Sony commercials, they were shady and they were creative and they were making a point based off of what a lot of people in the industry were really frustrated with, which was the direction that the Xbox One was going in at the time with the TV, sports, always online, no trade, you know, and all the stuff that people didn't like about the Xbox One. But being a bitch is what I see in the comments section whenever Microsoft makes a tweet or Sony makes a tweet, and you've all seen it, and you all know not to read the comment section. I just see a bunch of uncreative bitches. That's what I see.
Yeah. And it's people complaining about, like, stuff that's ridiculous. Like, you're looking at game specs, it's like, well, this one, you know, the frame rates, you know, it's not 120 frames per second in this game. And this one, it doesn't have the fun adaptive, you know, triggers because Sony's got that on their DualSense. So, therefore, the Xbox controllers suck.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just stupid, petty arguments. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do. Like, that's a debate you can have if you're deciding like, hey, I don't know which console to get, and you're asking your friends, you know, what they recommend or what you think. You know, you have your advantages and your disadvantages, and if it ends up being some popular thing, like say those adaptive triggers are super popular, then guess what? The next console that comes out is going to have those things, because it's the same thing with like the Rumble, you know, the HD Rumble thing. That was a popular thing that was in, you know, the Joy-Con. So what did Sony do? They did the same thing. I mean, they've done it before with, like, motion controls. They like to copy Nintendo. But it's just, it's a neat, innovative thing, but let's just see how it's being used. I mean, there was a thing that they were touting before, which I still have it. Like I said, I'm pretty new to the Xbox One stuff, but they were touting, you know, the Rumble that was in the triggers before is supposed to be, like, some immersive thing. I haven't noticed anything yet, but then again, I haven't played any games like that. They have that, so I don't know if that's just all hype. I mean, it same with the motion controls they were talking about before with, you know, the six axis. That was supposed to be a big thing. And we don't see a lot of it.
Sometimes, Loki, it's all a marketing thing, too. Not so much in the case you're talking about, but my brain went to when Sega had blast processing. Remember when that was fucking made the fuck up? Like, that was a marketing thing. And so it's like talking about, what is it, teraflops? Oh, this console has more teraflops. Do you even, like, and this is what I want to ask these people on Twitter. Do you even know what a teraflop is? Teraflop?
That's just, teraflops are something that, like, that's just.
It wasn't a literal question.
No, I understand that. But, like, I think that it's something that I see when I watch a lot of tech reviewers and stuff. They use that as a point to kind of compare the power of the system, the potential power, I guess. But like even now, like when they're saying, oh, like people declaring that, oh yeah, Sony's won the race already, like literally a week or two after the console's launched, and we're talking about launch games that, you know, probably don't know how to utilize the hardware the best anyways, and we're already drawing distinctions, oh well, it's over for Microsoft or it's over for Sony. It's like, dude, it is way too early. We haven't even seen the potential for these games yet, and you're already trying to, you know, call the results of the race here, which there really is no race. It's just something to keep you busy, I guess, in this year of 2020.
Let me get to some chat comments, because you guys are lighting up in chat, and I love it. At twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Phoenix7726, describing a teraflop, says, it's what my fat butt makes when I cannonball of a high dive. High five. Same, my friend, same. Questbuster says, teraflop equals how many pancakes are flipped per process, but how many bunnies are carrying the pancakes? That's what I want, a tera bunny. Bobby Blackwolf says, I mean, really, George Plimpton's Intellivision ads were the original console war. Intellivision once again making history. He'd have Intellivision baseball and Atari 2600 baseball and say, which one would you rather play? Or once you compare, you'll know. And I remember those ads too. You absolutely. So Intellivision is to blame for all this. And how ironic that the Amico is now the family friendly console, right? How ironic. Anyway, and Black Compact.
Well, when it comes out.
Black Compat in chat says, why does it have to be over for anyone? Great question, and let's talk about the Amico for a second, because there's a ton of people out there already canceling this device because it's not, you know, it's not there to answer to the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X, but it's existing to its own thing. It's a risk.
Yeah.
And some people say it as a risk that could go to a good place, and some people say it's a risk it could go to a bad place. It's a risk, but can't we hope, is if the Amico is a runaway success and sells millions of Amicos, you don't know. You don't know until it happens. Is it going to hurt the industry? If the Amico is a runaway success, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because I would say the you should want the Amico to succeed. You should want all of these gaming devices to succeed, because that more competition is going to create better games. Those more avenues to have games to play is going to make for better games. Having a device which, you know, allows more gamers is going to make for a better gaming culture, and so on and so on. Loki, I'm sorry, you wanted to comment.
No. I was going to say, like, I was thinking before with the Amico, I don't think it's going to hurt the industry, but, and it's as much as I love Tommy and the whole team that he's assembled to put it together, and the Amico looks like a nice piece of hardware. The games are a little sketchy looking right now. They come off, and I know it's probably underselling it, they come off just as which is, it's a bad connotation, because there's great mobile games out there, and that doesn't mean anything about how the games are actually going to play, because let's look at Wii Sports. That game was basic as hell, but it was a great game, and so you can't really necessarily judge stuff by the games. But
right.
The problem, a lot of this seems like Ouya, and I know it's definitely different than Ouya, but it's just like that, like getting excited, this is going to be revolutionary, and then just like flops hard. And that's not to say that just because one did that this one's going to. It's just that's the kind of, I see it in that going that way right now, but that's not to say that they could easily prove me wrong. And it's that's my healthy skepticism right now about it is I want them to succeed, but like,
it's okay to have the healthy skepticism, because we do love this. And I've talked about this a million times on the show. I'll say it one more time, because you never know who's listening for the first time this week. But even when we are critical about things in the industry that we really love, like Nintendo, right? We're critical because we are fans. We want to see them do well. So when they make these moves that we don't understand, that's what can be frustrating. But any criticism we make on this show does come from a place of wanting to see them succeed. And I think a lot of that is true about Amico as well. And there was a great comment in chat that said, SG100 Matt says, thankfully, gaming success stories have come in the form of indie games breaking through. And that truly is all the Amico needs. If the Amico has that great indie partnership we don't know about yet and gets that breakthrough indie game, all that other stuff you're concerned about won't matter. You know what I mean?
And It's great. And I think having like these pack-in games and stuff, they're really trying to capture that whole Wii Sports market, which it's really, there's no market right now. Let's be honest. I mean, they sort of kind of, I mean, you didn't really, the Switch was popular, but it's not, it didn't have that like breakthrough success. I think like the Wii did, as far as in the sense of like catering to non gamers. Granted, there's probably a lot of people that own the Wii that probably now have a Switch, but it's not bringing, I think, a ton of new gaming people that are going to be into gaming now with this. This isn't, you don't have a Wii Sports per se on the Switch right now. But I think that this could do well, especially if it's, you know, priced, you know, right. Well, it'd be interesting to see. I am curious to see how stuff turns out on there.
Let me bring up something else. Sorry, because I didn't want to turn this into the Amico hour. But let me take another gaming device that I've been highly critical of on this program, and I want to explain why and where I'm actually secretly rooting for it to be successful. And that would be Google Stadia. I think is a very appropriate thing to address as. I would love if this was a success. I just don't think it's going to be in its current form. And a lot of it has to do, again, I think a lot of it is it's just too soon. And there's that real concern that Google is going to walk away from it just in time to see, you know, for the rest of the industry to finally catch up to where we need something like Google Stadia. And a lot of it has to do with these bandwidth caps, right? You know, there was a story going around this week. I don't think it made our show roll tonight, so I'll talk about it real quick here. Google Stadia was showing off that Cyberpunk can run in 4K and it looks really good. But my response to that is, that's great, but now on the other hand, you just had a story come out that said, guess what? Comcast is bringing in those 1.2 terabyte caps to the entirety of the Northeast, and every place that didn't have a bandwidth cap before is now going to have one. And so it's like, that was a really shitty yin to the yang of the other story. So honestly, Google, if they were really smart, would be putting a lot of pressure on a company like Comcast to either make, I think a lot of us would really hate to see things go here, but I think we all know the possibility is it could, to make Stadia bandwidth an exception to the cap.
I hate saying it,
but it could happen. Or so, pressuring to get those caps raised.
So one nice thing about January 20th with the new president coming in is that Ajit Pai is bye-bye from, you know, the FCC. So
that's true.
So that brings me all sorts of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because screw that guy.
Yes, no, screw that guy. Don't let the door hit you. But you're right. That'll be interesting to see what happens with all that. Let's see. And what else I want to say about Google Stadia? And yeah, putting the pressure on, like, you know, Comcast to hopefully increase or at least kind of negotiate, because, you know, Comcast likes to say, oh, well, only 5% of people go over that bandwidth cap. But when you're Google Stadia and your target is that 5% or that group that's right at that cap, you know, it's rough. So I just, yeah. I do think, and I've said this on the show before too, I do think the thing that will finally light the fire under Comcast's butt is going to be the more wide adoption of 5G. And that's coming in the next few years. But 5G is pretty damn fast, right? So as 5G becomes available in more and more places, there's going to be people that are like, you know what? I've got an unlimited plan on my phone. You know, fuck this Comcast thing. I'm going to download the games through my tethered phone 5G connection, which I know sounds ridiculous now, but did you think 10 years ago we'd even have what we have here with these phones? And that's going to be what it looks like in the future.
But even with 5G, though, even if on those unlimited plans, it's not unlimited 5G. It's you get so many gigabytes at 5G, and then everything is throttled after that. That's how they work on most of these cell plans. It's not going to be the full speed for the full unlimited. They all have caps. But like, really, like, if that their argument is that, oh, only 5% of the customers, you know, hit that cap. I mean, there's no different. It doesn't cost them any more money to be able to have no bandwidth caps at all. Yeah. It's just
They got rid of it for 3 months in response to the pandemic. Well, they just to bring it back.
they're getting rid of it because they're adding it back in is because they're losing sales in their cable subscriptions.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is they need to make that money up somewhere else. And that's what they're doing. And on top of that, they're also raising prices across the board anyways next year, and as they do every year, even though they don't provide me with any other, you know, service or whatever, they just raise the prices each year. So, but that's what you get when you have, you know, basically a monopoly in the company or the country, each of these cable providers.
Well, and that's
so,
why I think 5G is going to finally, I think, start to inch its way in on that monopoly, because there will be other ways to get your internet in your house. And 5G's, I mean, hypothetically, you could just have a 5G antenna and wire your house that way. Like, I know these things I say sound like ridiculous because we don't know them yet.
Well, yeah.
But why couldn't they? Why couldn't you have a company that sells 5G internet?
They have that in Midtown Sacramento, but yeah. Like, and I keep asking them, like, when Verizon comes out there, who do you have for your internet? And I'm like, I've got you for my mobile. When are you going to get 5G in, you know, my part of the state? They're like, well, so I'm like, dude, like, I would switch if you just brought me the service. It's miles down the road. Can you please just bring it to me? I mean, I don't know.
All right. But we got off the original topic of the Phil Spencer comments on toxic fandom, but that's okay. Tangents we love here on this show, and it's all about where the gaming industry is currently at. But to loop it back a little bit, I will just say, you know, I'm happy to see that Phil Spencer is kind of making these comments and is really kind of pushing the industry to a together we are stronger type of place than a, you know, fuck that guy and fuck this guy type of place. Like, we're in our own little – I just think, you know, working together – because – again, in the games industry, you've got people that will leave one company for the other and vice, you know, and all this stuff. I think it's going to be a healthy thing. And that's why I'm very happy that Phil Spencer is bringing some positivity to gaming. It's okay. You can have positivity in the gaming industry. It's a fine thing. It's going to work out fine. So, all right. Some other comments in chat. Tiger Claw talking about the innovation and stuff, saying that Elon Musk has that Starlink internet service he's been testing out in some places. So you're right. There might even be other types of technology that are going to bring internet to your home. Some things we haven't even thought of yet, or are still, you know, in the planning stages. Black Compat in chat says, if Verizon Fios came to my area, it would be over for Comcast.
I keep waiting for that, but that's only on the East Coast.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. All right, speaking of time and how we spend it, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games we have been playing this week, as it was a holiday week, so a good chance to catch up on the backlog over these last few days, although Loki, you may have been working on your own thing, but I don't know. How was your gaming week?
So I didn't play really much of anything. I was trying to play a little bit of Minecraft with my kids, but they had done an update to, so they did a new update to 1.16 to bring parity between the Java and the Bedrock editions of Minecraft, to add some features to kind of make them in alignment. And so they pushed a update, and they hadn't pushed an update to the realms. And so there, it's been really hard too, because they also added realms and server access to the PlayStation version of Bedrock as well, and so it just really tanked being able to connect to realms this week. I was able to get in like a couple times, but it was really hard. They kept timing out and everything, so I'm just waiting for that to kind of cool down a bit. But I did play my realm for like a tiny little bit, just mainly testing the connection because my kids were wanting to play. But I haven't really played anything. I've been watching Minecraft speedrunners this week. There's a couple guys I watch, this guy Danny, who he's developing this game right now called Carlson, so I watch him. He's a Unity developer, but he's been, this entire month, has been trying to speedrun or become a speedrunner in the Java Minecraft, and so that's really interesting to me. I kind of want to do the Bedrock stuff, just to, you know, try it, because it looks fun, and so it might be something I might try down the road. And then a little bit of Orna, played that, and that's pretty much it. I didn't really play a lot of games, even though this would have been a perfect time to do that. It's all game development. That's all I've been doing. It's just solid, any free time
Fair
I
enough.
Have.
Fair enough. Is that your brother-in-law that just joined the Orna group? I think that's who that was. I thought somebody related to you.
No, it's That would be, I think that's my sister's coworker.
Oh,
so
okay.
My
okay.
sister and her coworker, I think maybe her boss, were joining Orna. They'd asked about it.
Got it.
Not that long ago, but yeah, so they were joining.
Okay.
Yeah.
Neat. All right. So I had to ask because I was like, this person says they know Loki and they've been really going hard on all the raid bosses and stuff. So I was kind of curious.
Yeah.
Was...
Finally, like, so there was a raid boss I had popped, like, God, I don't even know if it was like, I want to say it was in the summer. And like, it's just been sitting there near my house for like a long time. And I've been just slowly chipping away. So I finally chipped away at it and they spawned a new one. And I was like, eh.
The thing that ticked me off. Talking about Orna a little bit, which is it's a GPS-based game that's very influenced by 8-bit RPGs, and it's really impressive because it's all one dude who put it together. I think music is like, you know, somebody else, and so the art assets are certainly, you know, Loki found the pack with the art assets, but for the most part, you know, it's one individual that's really the kind of the backbone behind it, so it's pretty well done. So we play that a lot, and I was kind of the same thing, is that I had a raid boss just recently and it was like 7.5 million hit points. I was like, oh, it's gonna take me forever. Finally just chipped it down and I'm like, okay, yay, I'm gonna summon a new raid boss and maybe this will be one I can get the new raid boss I spawned has 15 million hit points. Really?
Yeah, I got
really,
what is it, it's the same the raid boss I have now is also the same raid boss that this month, so it's one of the sisters.
Yeah, same.
And so I don't know, like, because even like the drops that they have, like, I did go up a level, but like the drops that they have, I can't really
the drops
use
aren't
them.
Great. Yeah,
so it's like,
it'd be nice if you could pick the raid boss.
But I had these summoning scrolls and I gotta use them somewhere, so you know, might as well.
All right, so if that's it for your gaming week, Loki, let me talk about my gaming week. So I've been continuing on my Xbox Series X, which Alan has been calling my No Man's Sky machine because that's about all he ever sees me playing on it. My save file is now up to 35 hours, just shy of 35 hours. That's in addition to the 25 I spent on PlayStation 4 Pro. And that's just two of like my seven plays. So I've spent a lot of hours on No Man's Sky, but obviously I've been having a great time and the worlds look gorgeous in next gen. So I've been enjoying that. I finally went through, so I name all my galaxies with the alphabet. So I go A, B, C, D, like all the way through the alphabet. I even found a dessert that began with X. I think it was called Shushio or something like that, which is a treat in some Latin American countries or something. So I even found one with X. I went all the way to Z and now I'm back at A. So I in fact, I'm all the way back through on my second loop. I think I'm up to C. So, it's funny that I've been to so many galaxies on this play that I've actually run out of letters. So there's that. So yeah, been doing No Man's Sky, but then I was finally like, okay, I probably should be playing something else. So I started, to really spend some time with Ori and the, I always want to say Ori and the Will of the Wisps. That's the new one. I went and played the first one, Ori and the Blind Forest, which I've started to play like a couple times and never got very far before I got distracted. But I made it quite a bit further this time in the Ori playthrough that I've been doing. And it is the first one because in my brain I'm like, well, I can't play the second one until I've beaten the first one. Right? Y'all have done something similar, I'm sure. I've been working on the first one, the Ori and the Blind Forest. I will say I've gotten to this part where like I got an ability I wasn't expecting to get. Like I was expecting to get like a double jump. I was like, oh, how do you get up there? You must need like a double jump. I was expecting something like that. I was not expecting this ability I just got where you like tie yourselves to lanterns and use them to fling yourself through the air. But you use it with like bullets too. And you, when you do it, you fling the bullet the other way. And that becomes this whole other mechanic, is that you have to basically use opponents' bullets to destroy the scenery. I got to say this about Ori. It's a cutesy game. It's a game that has a lot of feels. The beginning of the game is like watching Up. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. If you've seen that movie, you know. But the thing about Ori, for as cutesy and feely as it is fucking hard. Like, you die over and over and over again, and that's how you learn, because that's how video games, you know, classic video games really were. So Ori, the difficulty can be really unforgiving. Although I am playing on normal mode. I think there is a Bobby Blackwolf mode, but I don't see how that would make it any easier. Like, it might make things do less damage and stuff like that, but some of the physics games you have to play get really difficult. So, Yeah, it's
it looked really pretty. I haven't actually gotten a chance to play it yet, but I may have to go back and check it out.
So, let's see. SHO100 Matt says, I got Ori and the Blind Forest when I got my Xbox One. Still haven't played it. Yeah, that's the thing, is it was always kind of like a back burner game for me. Well, all right, time to bring it up to the front burner. So I finally really spent some time with it. And yeah, I really enjoy it. The game's on Switch too, which is pretty cool. And I have some friends who played through it there. It's also on PC. So lots of options for you to check out the Ori series. I'm sure the sequel is more pretty and probably harder. So I'm excited to get there at some point. The other game I've been playing a bit of, surprisingly, actually. So I talked about last week on the show where I've put Ingress on pause for a little while, right? I'm like kind of over it with that. So I've been spending a little more time with Pokemon Go, especially in amping for the new levels, which are supposed to hit this week. I actually went downtown and I went downtown and I usually play with Bluetooth, but when I was downtown, I caught by hand and spun all the stuff. I'm up to 450 Pokeballs in my inventory. So that way, when the new levels go live, I can grind with Bluetooth and try to get the 200 Pokemon in a day that you need for level 41. The raids are going to be harder for me than it will be the 200 Pokemon in a day, I think. So that's something that'll be happening this week. So that'll be interesting. But because I've been spending that time in Pokemon Go, I was kind of like, well, I should check out this Pokemon Home thing, because it's supposed, like, you're supposed to be able to transfer Pokemon to Pokemon Home. And then, so I ended up kind of picking up Pokemon Shield again and just trying to go through and complete my decks a little bit. But I've also been playing with some of the Pokemon Home transfer. So Pokemon Home is like an app that they put out on Switch and the phone. And it's basically just, it's a storage for your Pokemon. I don't understand why they couldn't have just modernized Pokemon Bank. That's a little weird, because Pokemon Bank was the same thing on 3DS, but now they've made it more mobile.
It's not the same thing. I thought that it they is, were charging
it's the same
for
function.
Space or something on this
it's
one.
The same function. And yes, they are. So you get a box of 30 Pokemon. You can hold 30 Pokemon. I think it'll fit more, but you can't touch them. You can only touch the most recent 30 unless you pay. I think it's like $15 a year. I haven't signed up to pay yet, but we'll see if I make it. But I transferred some of my shinies, because you know, some of the community days in Pokemon Go, I have like 12 Weedles, 11 Magmars. I don't need that many shiny Pokemon. So I put them in Pokemon Bank, and then I transferred I don't think you can move Weedle to Pokemon Shield, because I don't think it's in there, but Magmar you can. So I actually moved it over there, and now I have a shiny, another one in Pokemon Shield. So it's been kind of fun, like, doing that and trying to fill out my decks. And I think the thing that is interesting about Pokemon Home compared to Bank is that Bank was just that. It was a storage dump for your Pokemon. That's all it really was. Home has like little achievements in it as well. Like, you stored this many Pokemon, and it has some trading that's built right into it as well. So you can trade direct from Pokemon Home. So that's interesting. In fact, I should check, because I put some Pokemon in Wonder Trade earlier. I put like a Mankey and like a Shellder that I caught, an extra one in Pokemon Shield, and something else. One of the Rookidees or something. So I'm actually loading Pokemon Home right now because I want to see. Because I put them up in Wonder Trade, so I'm looking. I'm bringing up the app right now. Ooh, I got an exclamation mark in Wonder Box. Oh, so all of my I wish I could show this better on the camera. They're back. I have three new Pokemon. So let's see what new Pokemon I got from Wonder Box. So the first one.
It's all trash.
Well, I sent trash. So send trash, get trash. Oh, it's a Yuri Geller. How about that? You heard that story this week, right? It's one of those. It's a Kadabra or a Yuri Geller. So that's cool. So I gave away a Drillbur. That was that. All right. The next one. Isn't this exciting, Radio? To commemorate your Wonder Box trade, I've got a special Pokemon gift for you. Make sure to get it from the gift box for mystery gifts. Oh, I didn't know you could get mystery gifts. That. See, that's the other reason to do it, is that you get a special Melmetal the first time you transfer from Pokemon Go. And then when I did the transfer from Shield into Home, I got the Grookey, Sobble, Scorbunny starter set that I guess have the special move or whatever. So there you go. Let's see. The next Pokemon I got, because now I'm sure you're all curious, right? Let's see. It does this cute little animation. Oh, a Lickitung. One of my faves. Oh, it's a Japanese licky tongue because it's named. It's got the Japanese name. Well, that's pretty cool. Level 16. That poor bastard got a Mankey in trade for that. All right. One more. It is. Oh, it's a Alolan Vulpix, which Vulpixes are cute. I mean, Alolans are everywhere. Oh, another Japanese one. So that's kind of fun. That guy got my level 60 Shellder in trade for that. So that's neat. So there you go. That's Pokemon Home. You can do some interesting stuff in that. And ActDeft in chat says, yeah, there are goals for doing stuff in Home. And if you complete the Pokedex, you get a special Magearna. I hope I said that right. So, yeah, so you get little, like, incentives, and then there are things you can kind of transfer back into the game. So I don't know. I've just been kind of, like, a little more interested in Pokemon. What else am I going to do right now? All this. Oh, Magearna. Sorry. Magearna. So what else am I going to do right now with everything that's going on in the world? So, yeah, that was my game of week. Added in some Ori. Did some Pokemon. Oh, Final Fantasy 14 as well. My Black Mage is almost to 80. And now I'm working on my Dragoon. I've only got 3 classes to go, and then I will have everything at max level. So there you go. That's my Final Fantasy 14 addiction. All right, let's get into some gaming news. First off, though, let's do some housekeeping. This is fun, because I haven't told you about this, Loki, because I just found out about this about... Well, I just found out about this about 30 minutes before we went on the air tonight. But somebody's going to be making a guest appearance on next week's show. Speaking of people that have been teasing games for a little while now, Loki, somebody else who's been teasing games on this program is going to unveil their latest next week on the program. And if
so someone else is going to release another game before I do?
Yes. Yes, Loki. Yes. So if you go to our pal YYR's website at yyrgames.com, he's teasing that next Sunday, December 6th, is a Pixel Poops Direct. And let me read what it says. Mostly Random Games, a division of YYR Games, would like to proudly announce Pixel Poops Direct, a short video presentation revealing and celebrating what's next for 2020, the year of poop. Please join us during next week's Orange Lounge Radio next week at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific for something truly moving. You know, like your like your pals.
I'm moving.
Yes. So check that That's out awesome. Next week. Yeah,
appropriate.
He's got a little something, and we're going to debut it here on the show. Look, Ubisoft won't let us premiere stuff. EA won't let us premiere stuff. Nintendo won't let us premiere stuff, but you know who will let us premiere stuff? YYR. So we're gonna be that meet, and I'm excited because I'm kind of curious where he's putting that poop. Is it gonna be like a Xbox thing, a PC thing, a Steam thing? Where are you putting your poop? So we're gonna find that out next week.
Well, maybe it's going on the Wii because it had a lot of shovelware. Yeah.
All right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat is asking, where's the Bobby Blackwolf premiere? I mean, if anywhere can premiere poop, it's Bobby Blackwolf. You did have the Tommy interview recently. Didn't you get an Amico thing from that? let us have our poopy moment. All right. So that's next week on the show. I'm excited about that. And Dark Soccer needs to be here, really, because wasn't Pixel Poops kind of like something she just shouted off and then YYR kind of ran with it? So she really needs to be here.
Don't recall what, but I think it was something that she said.
Yeah, so we're going to find out on next week's show. Excited about that. All right, let's get to the real poop, the news of the week. So, Loki, why don't you start us off tonight with some news?
Yes, so Sony would say that this is a real poopy thing that you could do. That is giving away their precious gift, the PS Plus collection, that was supposed to be the special gift to PlayStation 5 owners to have at least a basic library of some PlayStation 4 games that are going to be compatible with the PlayStation 5 that you can play as an added bonus. But what did you ungrateful people do? You decide to go ahead and sell that to other people. So I guess what they're doing is selling the opportunity to redeem these games, I guess, by logging into their account or logging into an account somehow to be able to download the games to other systems instead of actually the owner of the PlayStation 5. And so what has this, what they have done now is because of this, they've started banning accounts that are selling these. Most of these seem to be out of Hong Kong. Apparently they're the ones that are doing the most of this, but still, like, how could you give away, you know, their special gift to you? I mean, granted,
because,
like,
you had it all through PS Plus already.
I was gonna say, granted, like, yeah, I do have most of the stuff in my library already, but, like, I mean,
where a buck can be made, people are gonna try to make it. So I'm not, like, is it a code that comes in the box or something?
So what
I thought it was you sign in to your account on a PlayStation 5 and then it unlocks it, right?
Yeah,
so people are paying for that permission.
Yeah, so what they're doing is, I guess they're allowing somebody else to sign into their PlayStation 5, or they're logging in with that PlayStation 5, which will then allow them to download that to, or put it in their library, I guess. I don't know, but apparently what they're doing, though, is they are banning folks they're doing like upwards to like a 2-month ban. Or some of them are actually making, okay. So the folks that are actually selling them are getting permanent bans. The people that are purchasing the PlayStation 4 accounts are getting 2-month bans.
Well, thanks to this story making the rounds everywhere. Now I've learned that if I log into someone else's PlayStation 5, I should be able to unlock this for myself, right? So let's say we don't trade money, okay? But, like, I go to a friend's house. Let's say, you know, like Shane is, you know, a friend of mine and has a PlayStation 5. He was on the show a couple weeks ago talking about it. What if it's not a money thing? It's just a, hey, Rob is visiting and logs into my PlayStation 5 and now he has access to it. Like, are we going to get banned because I went onto my friend's PlayStation 5?
I don't know. I remember we talked about this a while back with account sharing, because folks were doing that before. Like, they were allowing, it was an issue where, like, the person that owned the game could actually download it to a system and then any user on that system could play it.
Yeah.
And we were having, like, it was a while back. I think it was like the launch of like the PlayStation 4, where people were sharing accounts. And
you did it on the PlayStation 3. Alan and I did it. I mean, but we were in a relationship. Like, we shared a lot of things. So, of course, we did that. But, like, there would be things he bought on PlayStation 3, and so he'd log into my thing, I'd download them, and now I have them, or vice versa, you know? But that, I mean, we're not selling it to each other. Like, we're in a relationship. There's certain things, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, yes, we're going to share some things.
So what happened with the thought is, though, is it may have been that these folks aren't necessarily sharing it with one person. They're sharing it with a lot of people. So, like, for example,
and that's what's getting them flagged, probably.
Yeah, because they're saying that it says it's believed that a PlayStation automatically bans consoles where it logs in a high number of users, user accounts in a single day in order to protect it from fraud. So I don't think it's necessarily that they're just having one other person sign in, because that's not necessarily unusual. Like, you could be in a household with two people that own two different PlayStations, sure. And maybe you want to log into each of your own accounts, and I think that's completely legit.
Yeah.
But I think it's when they're having, like, 30 people log into that PlayStation 5, they're like, that's a little suspicious.
So,
yeah.
So Bobby in chat says, how do they know you paid money for it, and what happens if I log back into my PS4? Will they think I sold it to myself? So it sounds like the trick may be, I mean, again, Sony doesn't tell us, because if they told us how they figured it out, then people would know how to go around it. But it could be that, you know, if you've got one PlayStation 5 where literally 100 people have logged into it because the guy keeps flipping it on eBay, that probably was a red flag for Sony.
Yeah.
But, like, if Bobby and his wife log into each other's devices, that shouldn't trigger anything, you know?
No.
Yeah, it shouldn't. DJ Rama S says, plus it's probably tracked via IP address. So, and that's probably a big one as well. Like, why are all these American accounts signing into this Hong Kong based PlayStation? Like, maybe one or two, you know, because family can be anywhere, everywhere, right? But not 50. Right. So those are probably the types of things that are setting off red flags at Sony, I imagine. But
yeah. And so I don't know. It just, I mean, it's obviously they're going to catch on if it's that frequent.
Yeah.
But don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, and how badly do we need this PlayStation 4 collection anyway? Like, I'm not knocking it. It's a nice little deal, and especially, like, if you skipped PlayStation 4 entirely for whatever reason, and now, you know, you're coming from a PS2 or a PS3 to a PS5, it's a great thing to have because, you know, now it's like, here's everything you missed. So it's a huge bonus. But, like, outside of that, like, especially for, like, you know, gamers who have experienced PlayStation 4 and kind of bought the big hit, is it that important that you got to be logging into a PS5 in Hong Kong to get the library?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that you're logging into a Hong Kong PS5. I think it is just a lot of users that were in Hong Kong were doing this.
Sure.
So it's like necessarily, fine. I think across the board, you know, a lot of people could be doing it anywhere, but it's just that there was a lot of users that they saw that were in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I guess this, I mean, I'm judging you Hong Kong PlayStation users.
Only the ones who sell for money. The right. Uber capitalist ones.
I get it. Like, it's an expensive console, but, like, and you're probably thinking, well, you know, I don't need these because I have, you know, all these games already. It'd be different, like, if it was, like, a code that was in your PlayStation 5 box or something like that, and you're selling that. Whereas that might be slightly frowned upon by Sony. It's not necessarily, I think, illegal to do that. But, you know, being that this is tied to your console and you, when any account logs in, gets these games unlocked. Okay, maybe that wasn't the best way to do it. But, you know, it's, I don't know.
Let me get some other comments from chat on all this. Fifth Dream over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, this is worse than Animal Crossing trades. One a shit item, 300 Nook Mile tickets, or we kick out. Yes, it is worse than Animal Crossing somehow. Let's see. Phoenix 7726 says, that's like asking how someone, never me, never, can share their Disney Plus account with friends. I'm laughing because literally on Thursday I was like, oh, Dad, you like National Geographic, right? Oh, you're gonna love this. Logged him in. But the thing is, like, and these companies like Disney Plus and Netflix and so on, they're pretty transparent now with what they're monitoring, because, like, I think Disney allows two concurrent streams, right? Am I right? It's two concurrent streams on Disney. It's like two or four on Netflix, depending on your plan. So it's like they're telling you, like, if you do more than two, the others are going to get knocked off. Well, guess what? Like, nobody's ever going to watch Disney, not on my big screen TV, and then my dad, maybe occasionally. So there's two. But again, I kind of think there's a big difference between you sharing it with a family member and you're selling it on eBay to make a profit and help pay for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Big difference.
Big difference. So, all right. Let's see. Oh, SG100 Matt says Disney Plus allows four concurrent streams. Well, then I got two more up for grabs. Loki, you have Disney Plus? All right.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Sad. Right. I don't use it either.
Moving on.
The second season of Mandalorian.
I use it once in a while. I haven't even started Mandalorian. I need to, but I do watch Sister Act.
I watched the first season, but it's starting to get into spoiler territory with online. So I'm thinking I have to jump into season two.
It's
I just haven't really been motivated to. It was all right. It was just not like, it wasn't like The Boys where I was like, I gotta have season two, you know, immediately. Whereas Mandalorian is like, yeah, I'll watch it. It was good. But it wasn't like I'm like, just die hard. Got to watch it.
Bobby Blackwell says four concurrent is one of the norms to allow a family with two kids to all be streaming at the same time. Comcast likes this. Yeah, there you go again with those bandwidth caps, and they're all watching things in 4K on National Geographic. Then, you know, goodbye bandwidth. But no, you know what Comcast would really like? For you to check out Peacock. Because Comcast, NBC, and all that is in one big thing. But although I have heard good things about the Saved by the Bell redo, or whatever it is, or continuation series. I don't know. It's the modern Saved by the Bell, and that's all on Peacock. But I'm kind of surprised, and, you know, I maybe with net neutrality coming back, this wouldn't really be a thing. I'm kind of surprised Comcast just hasn't said, hey, if you watch these things on Peacock, it won't count towards your bandwidth. Maybe that's coming. I don't know. All right. Moving on. Let's go to another story. Let's talk about a game that many people are very fond of and still are kind of surprised, maybe, because it's been so long that a sequel is incoming for this game. It is the game The World Ends With You. That's right. The World Ends With You originally came out for the DS. It's several years old. In fact, I think it's old enough that Dark Soccer did it as Class Game of the Week, I think, relatively recently. It's not a redo. They already did that on the mobile devices and all that not that long ago. This is an actual sequel. New characters, new gameplay, and so on. It is called Neo, The World Ends With You. Not to be confused with a character from The Matrix, but you will be going back into the Reapers game as Rindo, and you will team up with some new people and some familiar faces as well to defeat the Game Master. Everything is now in 3D, but still kind of has that similar style to it. You will have a newly reimagined action combat system and some more answers from the previously launched story. This will be coming in summer 2021. It is currently scheduled for the PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo Switch, so no word as of now about Xbox. Don't know if that's maybe because this announcement kind of came out of Japan, where Xbox still really isn't a factor. But you know, Square Enix has been doing things with Microsoft, because I know I'm personally hyped for the Dragon Quest XI remaster coming to Game Pass in the next week. Actually, that's probably something I'll talk about next week during my gaming week. But that's going to be great to experience again in 60 frames a second and all that, you know, stuff that Xbox Series X will provide. And then like all the Kingdom Hearts games are on Game Pass too. So we don't know about Microsoft yet. Maybe it'll be delayed by a year. A lot of the stuff has been, but right now, no word on that. It's just PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. But you can, if you want to check out the original game, that final remix of The World Ends With You, that and I think they did, that's the version that they did for the mobile phones and stuff. That is also out on the Switch. So you can check that out if you want. So ActDeft in chat says, there were also new screens of The World Ends With You anime launching next year. So this series is coming back in a big way. So are you surprised, Loki, that this game is getting a sequel? I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. It's always
I never played the first one, but like I'm not surprised, I guess, because I don't know. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know what game I was surprised got a sequel was Nier. You remember that? And that was on the Xbox 360 here. And we had a kind of a different version of that than they had in Japan. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't think this game did well enough to necessitate a sequel. And then the sequel comes out years later, is a big surprise, and one of the greatest video games of the year, and some would argue the decade or even ever, gets released. So sometimes these sequels
still
that
haven't played it yet.
Oh, you should. It's good.
I know. Like, I remember the original Nier, but like I didn't like I other than name, like
just drop
they
it.
Didn't really resemble
just
each other.
Throw it at. Just throw the original Nier on 360 out of your mind. Just this is a new thing, and you didn't need to play the original to understand it, and you'll be fine.
No, I understand that. I get that, but like it just never. I don't know. I didn't even, I'm not familiar with the universe of the original Nier to know whether or not, you know, this was basically, you know, in the same universe or if it's tied together other than in name only.
Akuma JP in chat says Nier has hardcore fandom, but that's also, you know, kind of a Japan versus US thing. Not to say, of course, that game has fandom now, but I'm talking like pre Nier Automata. We only had that 360 version, which I think was a completely separate game you guys had in Japan. Like that one they're redoing is brand new for us in America, which is like it's weird how it all works out. I didn't think that fandom before Automata again was here in the States, but it's certainly there now. People loved Nier Automata, and I understand. I've played enough of it to understand why people love that game so damn much. So great music, my God. So, and ActDev says, if you want to go full canon, Nier is part of the Drakengard universe. That's true. I remember hearing that. So, yeah, neat. All right, let's move on. So that's cool that World Ends With You is getting a sequel after all this time as well, because it has had its fans that were pretty hardcore over the years. So they're getting rewarded in a big way, not just with a new game, but with the anime. Who's not being rewarded, Loki?
If you bought a Wii U and you own Super Mario Maker, well, you're not going to be able to. They're removing the course share function starting, of course, on that ever so popular date with Nintendo removing things, March 31st, 2021.
The end of the fiscal year.
the day that they just say, you know what, Mario, you had your 35th anniversary. Now we're just kicking you in the pants and throwing you in the trash.
Mamma mia.
They're just removing everything at that time. So apparently, if you have Super Mario Maker for Wii U, the game will be removed from sale on Nintendo eShop as well on January 13, 2021.
Mario will be deleted on March 31st.
And then also, apparently, though, they're just reminding you it's not going to have any impact on the second game. Also, Super Mario Maker bookmark is the service on that website is also ending as well. They said it won't be possible to look up any bookmark courses on the Wii U version of the course world. But you can still play, I guess, courses that are it says it will still be possible to play courses that were uploaded before the course upload feature was discontinued and to re-download the game after its removal from the eShop. Oh, thank you. Well, that's nice that I can re-download the game that I purchased.
For now, until they close the Wii U eShop permanently, which I would be really surprised if that's not in the next 2 years, I'm going to say, is that the Wii U shop goes kaput, just like the Wii shop did. So it's a matter of time. And that's some of the problem with these online games. I mean, it's nice that at least you can go online and still get the levels. You're just not going to be able to add to the very large repository of levels. And the only bummer about this, and I do understand, and Dark Tetsuya in chat says, well, to be fair, they did put out a sequel, so they're probably assuming more people are playing on that now. Correct, and more people own a Switch than own a Wii U. But let's not forget, there were some things, not many, but there were some things that Mario Maker first one could do that the sequel can't do. For example, one of my levels that I did only can exist in the first game because I used the Amiibo characters. Yeah. And that's probably the biggest thing that's not in the sequel. And I wish it was. I miss it. Like that was a fun little thing in the 8-bit mode. And I don't understand why they didn't bring that over. Maybe it was a licensing thing with some of the extra characters. Then fine, take the non-Amiibo characters out or whatever. But I'm just surprised that never made its way to Mario Maker 2. Because otherwise, why can't they just be like, we're going to take all your original levels and put them in the Mario 2 database? But they can't really do that.
Yeah, it's just probably different. And then also there's still the 3DS version, which I think uses that stuff as well. And
you can't really
control that either.
I forgot about the 3DS version. Whoops!
Yeah, so, oh well.
Yeah, Fifth Dream points out Baby Metal was a thing in Mario Maker. That's right. And Dark Tetsuya, talking about the licensing, says, oh, that's true. It might have been licensing. Like, I love the Hello Kitty skin, LOL. Yeah, some of that stuff would probably be hard to get in Mario Maker 2, but there was also a ton of stuff that was Nintendo's own stuff. You know, most of those Amiibos are all Nintendo's own things, so they shouldn't have had such a hard time bringing that over. They just didn't do it for whatever reason. ActDev does point out we got the Link thing in Mario Maker 2. And that was really cool because that brought new mechanics with it as well. And maybe that was the level Nintendo wanted new characters to be at. But I don't know. They've ended major support for Mario Maker 2 already, right? Like, yes, you can still upload. It's not the same that you can still upload levels and the community's still there and everything. But they're not planning to. Like they said the last major patch was the last major patch, right? Pretty sure
I don't know. It is kind of disappointed that they didn't do more with this. I was hoping they'd have more in there, but maybe they're saving it for Mario Maker 3 or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, so those of you that are still gaming on your Wii U, TikTok, because I don't know what's left on Wii U that's not on the Switch or going to be on the Switch.
Why everything has to be at the end of this fiscal year. Like, it's so weird that so many things are being discontinued on the 31st. I don't know.
Is it some type of server cost they can write out for the next year? I would think it would be minuscule, but I don't know.
It's just, it's weird, though. It's just, it seems odd. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Oh, thank you. Dr. Cio points out a really good one, Xenoblade X. Real soon, I hope. I hope that's one of the ones that they poured over to the Switch, but we'll see. Maybe they're waiting for that Switch Pro, and then they're going to do a souped-up Xenoblade X, kind of like they did the other Xenoblade. I don't know, just a crazy thought. So Sia Tabiri suggests Earthbound and Earthbound Zero from the Virtual Console. Yeah, it would be nice to get those games in Nintendo's new Switch system, wouldn't it?
Hmm.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about... So we've got old consoles no longer being supported. How about old consoles still being supported by Natsume? Because they are doing some re-releases, get this, on the NES and the Game Boy Color. And when I talk about re-releases, I'm not talking about, like, these games now available on the Switch. I'm talking about get an actual NES cartridge for Shadow of the Ninja. So you can check that out. It's a partnership.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a partnership with Limited Run Games to actually re-release some of their games. So Shadow of the Ninja, originally from the year 1990, and Return of the Ninja for the Game Boy Color from 2001 are going to be released by Limited Run Games. They will work on the original hardware. So this is an actual cartridge in both cases that will work. The pre-orders already went up, so they're probably already gone. Sorry. But that is something that happened. So who knows? Maybe there'll be more in the future. But I just thought that was really neat that, you know, and wasn't there like a Mega Man game recently or something too that.
It wasn't too recent. It was a while ago. They did Mega Man 9, I want to say. They did a physical release of that.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they did 10 as well, but I know 9, I think, was done because they released that in like the eShop or not eShop. Well, it actually might have been the eShop, actually. All the online services, and then they also did a limited edition cart that you could buy as well. And then of that, there was even an even more limited edition cart that was like blue or something.
Yeah, I remember that. Dr. Tetsuya says, I thought this was cool. I played a bit of that on Switch Online. It was kind of fun. Super tough, though. And yeah, that's one thing that, you know, should be called out is that this game is actually on. It was very recently added to the Switch Online service. So if you have the classic Nintendo Entertainment System collection as a Nintendo Online subscriber, if you go in there, you can actually play this game. So it's really something that, like, in addition to that, they're still putting it out on cartridge. Now, I imagine they're not making a lot of them, and the pre-orders, I'm sure, sold out within less than a day. But it's neat that market is still there for these things to be playable on the original hardware. Oh, and YYR actually points out that the games are actually still available, so they didn't instantly sell out, because usually these things do. Maybe the titles are a little too obscure for some people, I don't know, but... that is something you can get on if you want. Or maybe they're going to print as many as get ordered. I don't know. So that's kind of neat. Oh. All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So Fall Guys Season 3 is obviously right around the corner. And so the tease, what the reveal of what the season was going to be, they decided to do something kind of fun. They decided to split up the teaser image into a 300-piece jigsaw puzzle. And offered it to folks on Twitter and Discord and had them work together to try to put together the puzzle, which they did within a few hours. And so now it's going to be, it looks like a winter themed Fall Guys, which I guess is appropriate. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So they got snowmen and penguins. So that'll be coming pretty soon.
Neat. ActDeft in chat says, I got to level 40 on Season 2 last week, and I'm looking forward to Season 3.
Yeah, Winter Knockout is what it's called, I guess. So they don't have a date when it's supposed to launch yet, but, you know, the Game Awards right around the corner, so I guess they can announce a release date for that. So we'll see.
By the way, since it didn't make tonight's show roll and you brought up the Game Awards, have you heard the most recent fan wank about the Game Awards and what's set to be announced? I don't know if I believe it. This rumor has been coming up too many times where it's almost becoming self-parody. If it happens, great, but it is the Hideo Kojima Silent Hills on PlayStation thing. And you know that's been going around for a while. And now they're saying this is it. It's happening. Game Awards.
I'm not going to be disappointed.
What would you know what would be really cool though? Again, this is total tinfoil hat, fan wank city. This isn't going to happen, but I'm going to say it anyway. If on the day of the Game Awards, they release the PT again for PlayStation 5 because Silent Hills is happening, and that's why Konami was holding it back. Just saying.
It would be amazing, but
it's not going to happen.
I've learned to live with a lot of disappointment in the year 2020, so that I'm not going to have my hopes.
So there's one more for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like we'd like to think that there's going to be a Grand Theft Auto 6 announcement at some point.
Sure.
Nah. I yeah.
When with the Game Awards are what? December 10th. Is that Thursday night that's happening? Bobby, are we doing a Game Awards thingy again? Because I can't believe it's been a year since the last one. My God, time flies. This year has been crazy. But I do remember we did a thing where we watched the Game Awards and we live reacted to everything. Because I feel like we need to do one so that if that does happen, we need a live react. So, all right. Bobby says we can. So please look forward to it. We'll do a live react thing on the 10th for the Game Awards. That'll be fun. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about something that will be happening, and it's a retro thing all over. It's another micro console because these collectibles, they're everywhere. Capcom is doing their own. It's a new one that they're doing, and it's going to be available for the holiday season in Japan. I don't know when it's coming here. It's actually coming, to Japan this week on December the 1st, so maybe some folks will want to import that. It is a tiny little Capcom arcade player. And it actually has Mega Man the Power Battle and Mega Man 2 the Power Fighters. So those Mega Man fighting games that, I'm sure those of you with MAME probably checked it out at some point in your life. But, I don't think a lot of people here necessarily played those games a lot. So it'll be neat that those are out.
Well, I think
out.
They had it in those Mega Man collections. They had the Power Battle.
Oh, they did. They did. In one of them, they
and
did.
Maybe even soccer. I never played Mega Man Soccer, but I can tell you that many times at Blockbuster, I looked at the back of that and going, so did I rent this? And then I never did.
Also coming out, Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2, Super Puzzle Fighter 2. So it's an interesting kind of like Street Fighter / Mega Man hybrid thing. But okay, I mean, that seems pretty cool. It's cute because it has like the whole 6-button design, even though it's like super tiny. It's going to be about $210. Or if you want in yen, it's 21,780 yen. So
it's like a cross between a CRT TV and Mega Man's helmet.
Yeah, it's the folks that did the Neo Geo Mini are actually making this. And I actually have a Neo Geo Mini, and it's cute. So this is pretty expensive, but I'd be curious. I want to check it out. So no word yet if it'll release here, but I'm sure that won't stop some folks from importing it. That's for sure. All right, let's get to the classic game of the week, shall we? Since we're on classic games anyway, every week here on Orange Lounge Radio, we invite Dark Sakura to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should check out this game this week. It's a classic game, and you gotta respect the classics because that's how we got here. And, of course, Dark Sakura's not here tonight. I mentioned earlier she has the night off. And I was going to try to invite somebody on, but I couldn't. I didn't have a ton of notice, so I wasn't able to get anybody to fill in. So I'm going to fill in with the classic game of the week and do something. I think I'd put this on the back burner a long time ago, but I went through the wiki and I never picked this one. And this one is kind of like an interesting sort of game. It's an entry in a long-running series that I think most people have really forgot about. And so the game that I've picked for the classic game of the week is Donkey Kong 3. That's right. Not Junior, not the original, but Donkey Kong 3. This is the one that takes place in like a gardening type of setup or like a greenhouse, if you will. Whereas in the first Donkey Kong game, you played as Mario and you were kind of going against Donkey Kong because Donkey Kong kidnapped Pauline. In the second game, the tables were turned, right? In Donkey Kong Jr., Mario was the bad guy who kidnapped and you were Donkey Kong Jr. trying to save Donkey Kong. Well, now in this third game, you take on the role of Stanley. Who the fuck is Stanley? I don't know, because this is the only game Stanley ever appeared in. And Stanley's also one of those characters that rarely gets acknowledged by Nintendo after the fact. And I don't know if it's the reason because this game didn't catch on, at least in America, as well as the other Donkey Kong games did, or what. But yeah, this game was released October of 1983 in Japan, and it followed shortly after in North America and Europe. And it's kind of blamed that it was not the commercial failure in North America, or excuse me, that it was a commercial failure in North America, because it came out right around the same time that the video game crash was happening. I'm actually not sure I really believe that, because I don't think in retrospect the arcade industry ever crashed as hard as the console industry did in 1983. You know, arcades kind of made it through. And granted, there might be other things that you kind of contribute to that. However, I think the unique nature of Donkey Kong 3 and why it's a little weird could be a symptom of the video game crash in 83. And what I mean by that is, this really isn't like the other two Donkey Kong games. Now, I'm highlighting it as a classic game of the week. I think it is an interesting game, but it is interesting in the ways that it is very much not like the other Donkey Kong games. Donkey Kong, the original, and Donkey Kong Jr. were kind of platformers, right? And a lot of the spiritual successors like Super Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong Country, also platformers. Donkey Kong 3 looks like a platformer. It's not. As you're watching this on Twitch, can't you see this is a shooter? And what you're doing is you're shooting the bugs and you're using the spray to shoot Donkey Kong up and off the screen. Now, back to my point about why I think maybe Donkey Kong 3 in itself is a symptom of the video game crash is that nowhere in the official wiki or any official resource that I've read does it ever say that this is the case. This is my own speculation, okay? I think that Donkey Kong 3 probably started off as a completely different game, a completely different type of property or idea, and then somewhere along the way someone said, hey, why don't we put Donkey Kong's face on it and it'll sell plenty more. It'll do much better if we just slap Donkey Kong into it. Why do you have this character climbing up the vines that's the bad guy? We could have Donkey Kong. There you go. This is Donkey Kong 3. Do it. Print it. And that is very much, I think, a symptom of what led the industry to crash in 83 was, let's just release a video game because we can. So I don't know. And again, I have nothing to go off of or anything that indicates that is true. When you hear about the development of the game, you know, we know that the director was actually Miyamoto, was the director behind this game, and that the legendary Gunpei Yokoi was the producer behind this game. And the music was by Hirokazu Tanaka. I mean, this was an all-star Nintendo team that put this together. But I've known Nintendo to start something as one thing and then say, huh, maybe this should be something else. So I don't know. That's just, you know, again, my guess. I'm taking a quick look over at our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Yeah, Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, that seems like it would have happened that way. YYR says, the later levels of DK3 feel real shmup-like in the way that you need to dodge, weave, and attack. Yeah, especially, and you're probably noticing as you watch on Twitch, the first couple levels are pretty straightforward, but then it's when you get to that level where the middle platform is kind of like half missing and you can't just jump up and shoot them off the screen as fast as possible. It becomes very much like a dodge and weave type of thing. Questbuster says it's like Galaga with platforms. Heck yeah. And wouldn't this be a very Nintendo kind of way to respond to a game like Galaga and how successful it was? Again, and Phoenix7726 says, that's just a theory, a Rob theory. Sure, I see what you did there, but call it what you want. But I think there's something to it. I think this may have started as like Nintendo's kind of answer to that. How cute would it be if it was bugs instead of spaceships? And that's our answer to Galaga. You know, it would be very similar like Splatoon. What if we made a first-person shooter, but it was paint instead of guns? Anyway, let's see. As Joan Hunter Matt points out, turns out Stanley is a trophy in Melee and a spirit in Ultimate. So, I mean, yeah, it hasn't been forgotten, but it does exist in this really weird place in Nintendo's history. And a lot of people, you know, you have to say Donkey Kong 3 before people go, oh, yeah, that was the weird one. So now I remember. So since, you know, sometimes we have personal connections to these classic games of the week, I remember this because the grocery store of all places. Talk about things that led to the crash. And, you know, video games were everywhere. The grocery store had a copy of Donkey Kong 3, and I remember sinking quarters into the game because it is a really good cabinet, and I love the old Nintendo arcade hardware. Those joysticks and those buttons really have a way of snapping and clicking in a way that not all the old machines do. So Donkey Kong 3 was really fun to play on those old machines. If you want to play Donkey Kong 3, there are other ways that you can check this game out. I believe it went onto Virtual Console. Yeah, it was on the Wii Virtual Console, 3DS Virtual Console, and Wii U Virtual Console. Those are all available on the Wii, you know, those various systems. It is not part of the Switch Online library, but it is one of the releases that Hamster's Arcade Archives did. So you know how there's like a limited selection of Nintendo games in the Arcade Archives versus Super Mario Brothers being the most notable and the one that sold the most on the Switch and still is in the bestseller list? Donkey Kong 3 is actually there as well. So if you're willing to pay, you know, $7-$8, whatever they're charging for those games, you can check out Donkey Kong 3. You know, and it's worth a look if you've never played it. But, you know, it is a classic 80s arcade game. It was a very simple loop. So make sure you're going in with the appropriate expectations. There is some other interesting legacy to this game. Since the game did do better in Japan, there was actually kind of a sequel-ish type of thing developed by Hudson Soft called Donkey Kong 3 The Great Counterattack. It was available on the NEC PC-8801, 6601, Sharp X1, and FM7. In other words, nothing that you could get here in the States. So these were all Japanese-only things. Honestly, I've seen videos of this game, and I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't hold up well. It doesn't look good at all. Those systems used kind of like a CGA-style graphics, meaning the only colors were... It's not the cyan magenta. It's the other one. I think it's yellow, red, black, green, I think were the only colors on those. And you see it on the gameplay, and it doesn't look good. You still are trying to shoot Donkey Kong up the screen, but it's like you have these weird backgrounds. It kind of looks like Bomberman with these weird ass backgrounds that have nothing to do with the game, and there's no platforms anymore. And so it's weird. I don't particularly like it, but you can check it out and decide for yourself. It is an interesting part of gaming's history, I'll say that. There was also a Game & Watch that was available for it. I'm not sure to what extent you really saw these out here in the U.S., but it was included in the Game & Watch Gallery 4 for the Game Boy Advance. But get this, they replaced Stanley with Mario in that version. Isn't that interesting? Talk this Stanley erasure. I hate it. And then instead of the bees, you got fireballs. So they really tried to Mario-fy the Game & Watch version, which is really interesting. So anyway, pour one out for Stanley. I think the long-lost Nintendo icon. Although I guess there is some shout-outs in the Smash games where you would expect to see him. But it is interesting. Stanley never did come back. He was never heard from again. So there you go. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I did get Donkey Kong 1. It's definitely worth it. It has online leaderboards if you want to try for a high score. Talking about the Arcade Archives. Dark Tetsuya also says, I played a little bit of the PC port. It was interesting. That's a nice word to use, Dark Tetsuya. And some folks in chat are making the joke about the Stanley Parable. Yes, I see what you guys are doing there. And YYR says, they just Mario-fied the ball game in the new Game & Watch. Yep. Put Mario in everything, that's for sure. Let's see. And SSGO100 Matt with an interesting fact saying, apparently, the same guy who holds the world record for Donkey Kong holds the world record for Donkey Kong 3, Robbie Lakeman. Well, how about that? Congratulations. And that's actually especially interesting because they're not similar games, you guys. Donkey Kong 3, I almost said Dark Tetsuya 3. I just made you a video game. Donkey Kong 3, again, is a shooter. It's not really like a platform. So it's very interesting that the same guy holds both records, but... Go back to some of those 80s icon, you know, people that were in magazines and stuff for having all the awards. You know, love him or hate him or don't give a shit about him. Billy Mitchell had a lot more awards than just Donkey Kong. He had the high score in probably some games you never heard of, too. So sometimes those games kind of cross over. Anyway, before I wrap the segment, Loki, did you ever play Donkey Kong 3 by chance? I'm just curious.
I have not.
Really? Had you ever heard of it or seen it before?
I have, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I just have never played it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, I think it's an important part of gaming's history because it's like a forgotten game in a legendary series. So that's why
didn't
I picked
they have,
it.
Was Donkey Kong 3, they didn't have like, there wasn't like an NES version of that, right?
I'm trying to remember, and even though it really looks like it's on that same hardware as the classic NES, I feel like there was. Can you guys?
Because I can't remember if
can
there
you
was,
live
like,
folks chat, fact check me.
Animal Crossing. You remember the original Animal Crossing
yeah.
the NES games? That may have been the only time that I would have actually been able to play that.
I feel like there was an NES cartridge. I mean. This game is very clearly, look at the font, look at the look of the game. It's very clearly running on that same hardware that powered those early
NES
games.
Version.
Okay, thank you. I was going to say, it had to exist somewhere. But again, was it released in America? That would be my other question. Or was it a Famicom
yes,
only
it's
game?
It's a Famicom and NES, but North America was 1983 and Japan was October 1983. So probably around the same time.
Probably around the same time. All right, that's good to know. Tiger Claw Chat says, this is a game that's deserving of a reboot. I don't know if I would go that far, but I don't think it needs to be super ignored and replaced with Mario in some of the ways that Nintendo has done. Like, let it be what it is, you know? So, I would like to see Nintendo. Why not put this game on the Nintendo library, Switch Online library? Why not? So I don't know, or maybe there's something about it that Nintendo cares not to remember. Maybe because it wasn't so successful in the U.S. I don't know, but I remember this game fondly.
Some anniversary for Donkey Kong or something like that. The year of Donkey Kong.
The year of Donkey Kong. There you go. That might be when we see it again. All right, there it is once again. Your classic game of the week, Donkey Kong 3. So yeah, and surprising, I'd never picked that before. I think I had it ready to go another week, and then we like flipped it out at the last minute for something else. Because I was like, I thought I'd picked that before. But there it is. I think I had the video pulled and everything. But there it is. We're doing it tonight. Donkey Kong 3. All right. Let's get into some rapid-fire news, shall we? A lot of other stuff going on in the gaming industry, right, Logie?
Yep. So starting off with the Games with Gold for December, we've got, looks like, Raven Remastered and Bleed 2. Those are going to be our Xbox One games for the month. And then the Xbox 360 compatible game, we have Saints Row Get Out of Hell. And that's going to be available as well in December. And then on the PlayStation side of the house, we have Worms Rumble and Just Cause 4. Worms Rumble is going to be available on the PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. Just Cause 4 is just PlayStation 4. At least that's the PlayStation 4 version. And then, of course, as mentioned before, they're going to have Rocket Arena is going to be available as your kind of premium PlayStation 5 game that's going to be free. And so that'll be available as well. And then we've got some fun glitches now. So this kind of harkens back for me to Grand Theft Auto 4 and the evil swing set that they used to have in there where you would be able to fling yourself into the air.
Didn't you have a video, like, spotlighting some of these bugs?
I do have a video. It's on our channel, actually.
Is it really?
I think it's on the Orange Lounge.
The long-forgotten Orange Lounge Radio YouTube page. Do you know? Do you know, I was looking there randomly the other day. There's still a video on there of you getting drunk playing Mario Kart at the arcade. It was your bachelor party. You remember that night?
Yeah.
And we filmed it.
Remove that.
It's the most viewed video, Loki. Okay. 12,000 views.
Wow.
Something like that. It's up there.
All right. So now in Red Dead Online, they have a bridge that is going to allow you to fling yourself as well. So this new bridge apparently is near McFarland's Ranch. And if you throw a projectile weapon into one of the first few slats of the bridge, it causes the collision just to go crazy and just fling around everywhere, launching yourself into the air in a pretty hilarious fashion. So, of course, they have different videos online. So definitely go check it out if you play Red Dead Online, because they could patch it out, or maybe they won't, because they never did with Grand Theft Auto 4. They just left it in there because it's something silly that doesn't really necessarily break the game. It's just kind of a fun thing to do. So, yeah. Pretty cool to see something like that come back.
What do you think about that whole Red Dead Online sold separately thing? That was recent news?
Are they selling it separately, or are they just putting it out for free?
I thought it was like a $5 thing.
Oh, well, that's not that bad. Red Dead Online, I guess that's fine. I don't know if there's a lot of people playing Red Dead Online. I would think Grand Theft Auto Online would be something they'd be more interested in selling separately. But I mean, that's where they're making most of their money, is online now with all the microtransactions. I just don't think Red Dead Online makes as much money as Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto has made them a ton of money. I mean, that's why it's been going for so long.
Was that your cat that just screamed in the background, or was that one of your kids?
Oh yeah, it's always the cat. No, it's always the cat. She was in here a second ago screaming because she didn't have more treats or something. It's like about once an hour. So yeah, that was the cat.
All right. We finally found treats that Mr. Smush likes, by the way, because, you know, there's this story with our cat, Mr. Smush. He does not like traditional dry kitty treats that you like throw on the ground, because we had a ton of them left over from when Santa Rio passed. We tried to see if Smush would be into it. Nope, he didn't like it. But we finally found, or I should say Alan really found it. He will eat the shit out of those. There's wet kitty treats. So we call them licky licky. So we go lick, lick, licky, licky. And it's like this little thing you pour out of a like little plastic thing. It's like tuna in gravy or something. I don't know. It's some type of interesting little treat. But he'll get there. He'll sit right there and go as he's starting to lick it up. It's really cute. So yeah. Yeah. As Joan Hunter Matt says, Mr. Smush only accepts gold plated treats. You would think so, because he only will eat food from the like hoity-toity pet food store. We can't shop for him at PetSmart or Petco. We have to go to like the natural pet store, you know, in that part of town, and that's where these treats came from as well. So anyway, all right, moving on. Sorry, this wasn't supposed to be the cat hour, but you know what, it's been a slower news week. I say that, and then I'm about to really drop a big piece of news. This is a pretty big deal, actually, here in Rapid Fire News. Do you remember the game Saga Frontier on the PlayStation?
Yes.
Big Square Enix title. Again, I think Dark Soccer spotlighted this as a classic game not that long ago, because I have to be honest, I didn't care for this game when I first played it.
I bought it and I didn't care for it.
But, well, we're going to get a chance to give it a second opinion, because Saga Frontier Remastered is coming out. And again, please do not send hate mail to the show because I said what I said about Saga Frontier. You know what else I didn't like the first time I played it was Mass Effect. And then I gave it a second chance and I fell in love with it. So maybe a remaster will be a good chance for me to give a game a second chance. Maybe I just was, you know, it was a long time ago that I checked it out on PlayStation. I'm kind of in a different place with gaming now than I was then. So it is, but a lot of people remember this game very fondly back from 1997. People very excited about this remaster. And then it gives people like me a chance to check it out all over again. So it's coming out next summer for Switch, PlayStation 4, Steam, iOS, and Android. That part has me a little concerned, because I'm only a little worried that maybe, like, you remember the Final Fantasy, like, 6 that they did for iOS and Android? It's not great and not the way I would prefer to play those games, even though they did give it all new art and everything. And now that I'm looking at some of what I see here in Saga Frontier Remastered, I think it could be a product of the same formula. So just be buyer beware.
Wait for the reviews.
Wait for the reviews. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe they've heard some of the feedback. Maybe they're going to make changes. We shouldn't hold the prior games completely against it. But I'm just going to say, these are some things that make me a little bit tepidly optimistic about it. So we'll see. But I mean, the videos, you know, in the trailer do look very interesting. There's supposed to be new cutscenes and events and a new protagonist even. So that's kind of something different, is that they're actually adding to the story a little bit. So that could be very cool. So check that out when it releases, although we don't have an exact date just yet. All right. Moving on, one more story for you, which has to do with AOC, or Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, I'm not going to report every time she goes live on Twitch, but it is notable to point out she did go live on Twitch again. And part of the reason I am bringing it up, and we talked about it the first time, is because it is interesting to see more and more politicians start to embrace Twitch as a platform. And what's particularly notable about this last stream that she did, it didn't get quite as many viewers. I don't think it had the hype going into it, and we're also now post-election as opposed to pre-election, which is probably a big part of it. But it still, I mean, when I looked at it, it was like 80, 90,000 viewers. That's nothing to be ashamed of, and that's still, you know, the size of two football stadiums worth of people. But what is notable about this is that she actually had playing among us with her Jagmeet Singh, the leader of Canada's New Democratic Party. So this was kind of in collaboration with a notable Canadian political figure. So it's an interesting kind of crossing boundaries there. And now bringing a Canadian figure into this. So like I said, what AOC is doing, other people are noticing, and that isn't just unique to the U.S. So pretty cool. That all happened the other day. It still had a pretty high amount of viewers. I did not catch the whole thing. I don't know if you guys in chat saw it and have anything to say about it. Black and Pat points out they raised $200,000 for charity. Pretty cool. ActDef says we need Bernie playing Among Us. You never know. Bernie did have a Twitch channel, as did Donald Trump. But in both those cases, which are obviously two very polar opposite sides of the political spectrum, it was mostly redistribution of other stuff, like a televised rally or a televised interview was also being delivered on Twitch. What makes what AOC is doing unique and different is that AOC is making Twitch content for Twitch on Twitch. So that's where she's kind of breaking boundaries there and bringing other people along for the ride. Of course, we had Representative Ilhan Omar the first time. Now we have Jagmeet Singh from the Canada, and who knows who might come play Among Us, or maybe she'll play another game in the future. What game do you want to see AOC play next? That's what I want to know in chat. What game do you want to see? Civilization would be a good one, like Civ 6. That might be a fun one, right? I'd be very curious to see that. Black and Pat saying they raised over $200,000 for charity. That is very cool. Let's see. I'm trying to see the other comments here. A lot of the other comments on Saga Frontier. ActDeft picking another Twitch All-Star game right now. Phasmophobia with AOC. That might work. Tiger Claw says Mortal Kombat 11. I don't know about that. Kuma JP says RE7. I don't know. I don't know if AOC would be down for the jump scare games, but it would be entertaining. SSG100 Matt says Justin Trudeau is a gamer. Get him. You never know. You never know. How about Minecraft? Would you watch Minecraft with AOC? That could be interesting too.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? All right. Or somebody teaching her about a game, you know, kind of like Conan, but not necessarily funny or for comedy. I don't know. It'd be interesting. All right. I don't know what else she plays, but I'm sure there's something. All right, anyhow.
She plays League of Legends, I think.
Oh, does she? Why did she stream some of that? That'd be interesting.
I don't know.
There's a great suggestion from ActDeft. Jackbox Party Pack with AOC. That is a great idea, except she would definitely want to have a controlled environment for that, meaning only select Twitch people. Kind of like how she's picking her people to play Among Us with. She doesn't post her code and let anybody join. I would not want to see that happen with Jackbox either, because people, you know, people write some real obscene things in Jackbox, right? But if she can get a controlled game of 10 people and then maybe allow randos to join the audience, because all they would do is vote. They can't get in there and put things like, you know, fuck, 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 or, you know, all those other nasty things. Interesting. I'd be very curious. Yeah, that might be a fun one. If it's a controlled environment where she knows who she's playing with and that everybody's going to keep it G-rated, because that's, you know, she is a politician at the end of the day. You know, maybe PG is about as far as you can go. Maybe go PG. Star Wars is rated PG, right? So you can go about that far. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Interesting. Questbuster says, there's a clip floating out there of AOC saying how being patient in that game dealing with rage quitters helps her in Congress. Well, she should play that on stream then. I'd be very curious. Akuma JP says OLR should have an Among Us night. You know, we were talking about it, and it's my fault. I didn't follow through on it, but soon. I do want to still make that happen, maybe just in time for the holidays. All right, in the meantime, let's travel around the world and check out some games you can play besides just Among Us with some release dates, even though it might be slowing down a little bit, but not really. Actually, I think I was looking at this week, and no, there's still some big releases this week, right?
Yeah, it's still pretty busy, actually. So let me run it down. Yep. So they front load everything in December because, you know, holidays.
Sure.
Chronos Before the Shadow or Before the Ashes on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Stadia. Empire of Sin on PC, Mac, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have Frostpoint VR, Proving Grounds on all of your VR platforms, Rift, the Index, and Vive. We've got Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Twin Mirror on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Worms Rumble on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. And remember, that one is free for PlayStation owners if you have PlayStation Plus. Sam and Max Save the World Remastered on PC and Nintendo Switch. Shirin the Wanderer, The Tower of Fortune, and The Dice of Fate on PC and Nintendo Switch.
That's a mouthful.
Yes. Absolute Drift on Nintendo Switch. That's ironic for Nintendo Switch. Outlier Ryza 2 on Lost Legends and the Secret Fairy on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Haven on PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Immortals Phoenix Rising on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia. We have Fogs on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Wildfire on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Dark Complete Edition on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Dragon Quest XI S Definitive Edition on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Commandos 2 HD Remaster on Nintendo Switch. FIFA 21 on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light on Nintendo Switch.
Damn, this is a busy week.
Exactly. Fitness Boxing 2 Rhythm and Exercise on Nintendo Switch. John Wick Hex on Nintendo Switch and Xbox One. Madden NFL 21 on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. And Tanuki Sunset on PC. And I believe that is it.
That's enough. All right. Actually, Japan, looking at the release dates there, pretty similar. There's quite a lot happening this week. Empire of Sin from Sega releases on December the 1st. I'm assuming that's kind of dated to match with the rest of the world. But then when you get to December 3rd, you get a lot of similar stuff to what Loki was just talking about, although the Japanese versions, most notably on the Switch, Atelier Ryza 2, Lost Legends and the Secret Fairy, which I think Loki mentioned for the U.S. as well. Shirin the Wanderer, The Tower of Fortune and the Dice of Fate, that same one, is also out in Japan this week. Immortals Phoenix Rising. Sumiko Gurashi, Oyeha no Sumi de Tabi Kaibun Sugoroku comes out this week, as well as Immortals. I'm sorry, I just said that one. There's some type of Remother Double Pack is out this week. Together, the Battle Cats gets a price reduction. Woohoo! And a game called Derby Stallion is released as well. And, I'm sorry, those are for another. Those are some other dates that snuck in here. Let me look real quick at PlayStation 4 and 5 to see what is out in Japan. Immortals Rising on PlayStation 5 this week in Japan. So there's a new PS5 game this week. That's pretty exciting. And looking at the PlayStation 4, a lot of the same stuff I read for Switch. Immortals Phoenix Rising, the Atelier Ryza 2. This one's different. Go by Train, Hashiro Yamanote Line comes out from Square Enix, actually. And then that same double pack. Oh, as well as the Dark Pictures Little Hope comes out on the PlayStation 4 this week. I'm looking up that Go By Train. It's a PlayStation VR game that is like a train. It's a train driving game, but in VR. That's pretty cool. Oh, that looks neat. I wish we got more of those type of games here. Once in a while, they'll localize them. They sneak through. But most of those train games kind of skip us by. So... All right, there you go for Japanese releases. With Dark Sakura not here tonight, maybe Loki can step in and talk about the UK releases.
Yeah, so we have Chronos Before the Ashes on PlayStation 4. Looks like Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Monster Truck Championship on Nintendo Switch. We've got Empire of Sin on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythmic Adventure 2 on Nintendo Switch. And also Rhythmic Adventure number 1 also on Nintendo Switch. Pet Clinic Cats and Dogs on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Immortals Fenyx Rising on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Series X, PlayStation 5, and Nintendo Switch. We've got Madden 21, looks like coming out on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. FIFA 21 on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Anima Arcane Edition on PlayStation 4. Dragon Adventure on, looks like, Switch. And Spirit of the North on PlayStation 4. Slide Stars on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Speed 3 Grand Prix on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Final Fantasy 8 Remastered on PlayStation 4. My God, there's that so many. I think they're starting to list all the digital stuff, too. So Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII Remaster on Nintendo Switch. Morbid the Seven Alcolytes on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Ghostbusters video game remastered on Nintendo Switch. John Wick Hex on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Peaky Blinders Mastermind on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Fitness Boxing 2 Rhythm and Exercise on Nintendo Switch. Commandos 2 HD Remaster on Nintendo Switch. Trax the Train Set game on PlayStation 4. Dragon Quest XI Echoes of an Elusive Age on PlayStation 4. Pinstripe on Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
All right. Busy week. Not usual that the week after Thanksgiving is so busy, but probably a lot of small delays this year because of the pandemic and so forth. And things are in a weird place right now because of everything going on in 2020. So, but I'm sure it's going to start to dry up the next couple weeks as we start to get to Christmas because in Hanukkah,
yeah,
the rest
we'll
of the holidays.
Yeah,
it's going to start to slow down. All right. Anyhow, we are going to do some more news stories here, and then we will get to your questions and comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Let's go to Loki with our next story.
So this is kind of what I'm hoping with my work, too, is that they're going to allow us to start working from home permanently. But one gaming company has done that as well, or I should say, probably one new game company has been allowing their employees to do that. So Square Enix says they're going to allow most of their employees to work from home permanently, and the new policy goes into effect starting in December, provided that their positions allow for it and they have the flexibility to change their designation month to month or on a month to month basis. But they said that they're expecting that 80% of their employees will end up working from home once the program starts. Well, next week, actually. So, I mean, definitely with this type of environment, you know, with the pandemic and everything, it is nice to see that companies are able to have their employees work remotely. As long as they're able to strike a nice work-life balance, that would be important. I'm totally for working from home. Yeah. From home. I love not having to drive in. It's great.
I think when we talk about that new normal post COVID, you know, I don't think necessarily all the news is bad. One of those things is that, you know, yeah, like work from home, I think you're going to see more often. And it's interesting to me with Square Enix in particular, because, you know, with Final Fantasy 14, which I play a lot, the pandemic and the adjustment to the work at home situation was kind of cited as it was a little rough to get going. And that's why they ended up delaying some content for a few months. They're back on track now, and they're moving, you know, they just had another live letter this past week for their big, big patch, the Tuesday after this upcoming one, December 8th. They're doing a big, big content patch, and it sounds like they're going to release their next, they're going to tease their next expansion in February, which is about 4 months off cycle from when they would have done it normally, October. But everything in Final Fantasy 14 land kind of got bumped back 4 months. So even though there was a huge adjustment period, it seems like they're kind of used to it now. So it's interesting to think that, you know, Square Enix, that would include Final Fantasy 14, a lot of that development's going to happen from home now. So it's neat. It's just, it's different. It's another way to kind of, you know, but if you think about it, a lot of indie developers have worked from home for a long, long time, right? So
that's true.
Yeah. So games can certainly be made from the comfort of your own home. And I'm sure a lot of people are wondering about their own jobs. Loki mentioned that too. SG100 Matt and Chad is saying, I hope we're able to stay remote. I know they're going to be, you know, some changes are coming to my job as well, where it's going to be kind of like halvesies, you know, like some days we'll need to be in the office for things, but some days we'll be able to work remote. And that's a good balance for me, I think. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like for people. There's going to be a lot more. I mean, of course, there were people that were working from home before this. It wasn't a new concept, but now it's just going to be, I think, many companies that didn't think they could had to. And now they've realized, oh, we can do this. And I think Square Enix is kind of one of those companies. So Akuma JP in chat says security is the only bottleneck. That's a very interesting point. Yeah. You know, I used to work in the healthcare industry, and so I would be very curious about, you know, how they were able to make some of that privacy and security stuff work in the home situation, because, you know, this is a very VPNs. Touchy area. Yeah, a lot of it's VPN. Yeah. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on to another story. And this one has to do with an actual historical marker, meaning it's one of those places where they like actually they have a sign that marks this is the place. And in this case, it is in New Hampshire. And it is a new sign that talks about BASIC, the first user-friendly computer programming language. BASIC is something near and dear to my heart because the Commodore 64, it was all powered by BASIC. I mean, they had machine language and assembly and stuff in there too, but BASIC was built in. You turned on the computer and you were in BASIC programming mode. BASIC, by the way, is short for Beginner's All-Purpose Symbolic Instruction Code. How about that? It was invented at Dartmouth College in 1964. And there was actually a column that happened recently in the Concord Monitor where it was noted that there were 255 historical markers for bridges, historical figures, but there was nothing about New Hampshire's technical and scientific accomplishments. So that's what happened. They actually got a historical marker for it. It is located on New Hampshire Route 120. It's not far from Dartmouth College and where BASIC, of course, was created. State historical markers are always on state highways. That's why it's not actually on the college itself, but that is pretty cool. And I hope it becomes a Pokestop, quite frankly. So I can say from having reviewed plenty of things in the old Ingress OPR and now Niantic Wayfarer, I would absolutely accept that as a point of interest, that sign. So that thing better become a Pokestop. The only thing that would disqualify it is that if there's something real close to it that's also a Pokestop already, but I don't, in the picture, it looks like there's nothing around it. So I hope it does become a Pokestop, and I want someone to send me a gift from there. Thank you, thank you. All right. SG100 Matt says, it's Dartmouth College. It'll be a Pokestop. It's near on the state highway, but yes, it should be, hopefully. YYR says, Commodore 64 and 128 BASIC programmer here. I made a bunch of shitty math games. Hey, but shitty math games brought you shitty pixel games in the year 2020. Questbuster in chat says, 10, print, hello, VOG network. Now then, all you need is 20, go to 10, and now run. Perfect. All right. Well, congratulations for the push to get that recognized, and it actually worked. I think that's pretty cool. All right, moving on. Just a couple more stories. Loki.
All right. So Sony, of course, is touting that their console launch is the biggest console launch ever. And, of course, they didn't really say what their sales figures were, but they, you know, basically saying that we wanted to confirm that, you know, PlayStation 5 is their biggest console launch ever, and the demand is unprecedented. I remember seeing, actually, Black Friday, there's folks camped out, you know, waiting for new consoles and stuff, which is kind of crazy in this kind of environment, but that's where we're at. I mean, I guess scalpers and all sorts of problems with that stuff, but it's still apparently doing well, and I think both of them are doing well, but since no one's releasing figures, you know, we don't really know how to compare. But once again, why do we need to know that as consumers. It doesn't matter. All it does is feed into the our team won and your team lost mentality. So I get it as well.
Yeah, and Bobby's confirming Microsoft said it was their biggest launch ever as well. And I remember hearing that in the last week. So both consoles are doing very well. And actually, I will
say, who would have thought when everybody's forced to stay at home that home entertainment would be successful?
Well, and I was more surprised by it being the biggest console launch ever, more because I would have thought there were less of them out there because of the pandemic. So I would have thought by nature, PlayStation 4 did better because there were more of them when it launched. But I guess that's not really the case. That's just me kind of remembering it with rose-colored glasses or whatever. I think there is something to be said about more people in general are playing games and more people want these sorts of devices in their homes because, you know, the folks that are getting older and are making the purchasing decisions in their household grew up with video games all around them, grew up on things like Mario and Donkey Kong 3, Stanley, and things like that. You know, people kind of remember that. So I kind of think just by nature there are more gamers, and so there's more people looking for PlayStation 5. But apparently PlayStation 5 and Xbox X are like the must-have holiday gifts this year. That's what I'm, you know, they are the Cabbage Patch Kids of 2020. I don't know if there's another I don't know if there's an actual toy that's like that this year. I thought there was supposed to be something, but I'm just hearing about how people are going crazy. There was a story on the news here locally about people were camping out at the mall for PlayStation 5s when there were two of them available. Two of them. So, interesting. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, our local gaming bar is almost completely booked for kids' parties from parents who aren't able to get an Xbox or PlayStation 5 for their kids by Christmas. Black Compat says, I've given up on a PlayStation 5 until February. Yeah, me too. And I knew when I made the decision I was going to push for Xbox. I'll get it in 2021, and it'll be all right. There'll be more games available at that point. You know, as long as I don't miss Final Fantasy 16, and I won't, we're good. Bobby Blackwell says, I predicted the animatronic Baby Yoda toy would be a hot toy, but I don't think that happened. Interesting. But maybe it's because there's lots of Baby Yoda toys out there, but there's only one PlayStation 5, and there's only one Xbox Series X. I don't know. That's just speculation. So anyway, ActDev says, I'm going to wait for the new consoles until next year. This year, I got a Samsung S20 and I've been loving the hell out of it. Playing Pokemon Go on 120 hertz is a godsend. Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, let's move on. One last story for you guys, and it has to do with Google Stadia. Google Stadia is promising 400 games in development, which, you know, sometimes Stadia gets criticized because they don't really have enough. So Stadia wants to tell you more are coming. And these are coming from comments made in an interview with Mobile Syrup by the director of games for Google Stadia, meaning the actual, like an actual, as opposed to people on Twitter that are like kind of not really affiliated with Google Stadia, but making comments. This person actually is with Google Stadia, director of games. These games are going to be launching over the next few years, not necessarily all of them in 2021. In the interview saying, my team is almost done with 2021. We're thinking about 2022 right now. That's our focus. 2023 is really kind of where we're aiming our sights. So Stadia sounds like it might be a slow burn. And hopefully Google will continue to believe in it for that long. And, you know, again, as much as it sounds like I might be giving Stadia a hard time sometimes, I want Google to play the long game on this. And, you know, when we have... By 2023, there probably will be more 5G. And so Comcast will be needled on that bandwidth cap. And I think there will be more of a space for things like Stadia. So I hope that they have the games to kind of back it up. It'll be very interesting. But Stadia still doesn't have the ability to just, open up your laptop and play right in your browser. I still feel like that's something Stadia promised a year ago, that they still need to really make it that easy, not just for pro, for everybody. Yes, I know you can do it in the browser on pro, but I'm talking for everybody, and 4K if you want it for everybody. Google has added things like Doom Eternal, Borderlands 3, Hotline Miami, Cyberpunk is incoming, but you know, the 100 games that are in there still somehow doesn't feel like enough. But Google does have some first-party studios in Montreal and Los Angeles. Don't forget, they have some type of development deal with Harmonix. Fuser wasn't it, because that's everywhere, so there's another Harmonix game that's in development that's going to be a Google Stadia thing. That, as a music game fan, that might get me to suddenly perk up and pay attention. We'll see. Don't forget, they have talented folks like Phil Harrison, Jade Raymond. You know, they've so we're still
waiting for those exclusive games, though. They're going to be coming.
But
out
I think
point.
The concern is, look, they can. The thing about Stadia is, I don't have to buy one. So if Stadia suddenly gets that must-have game tomorrow, it'll be pretty easy to go in there and get it. I'm not going to have to worry about supply issues like we do on the PlayStation 5 or Xbox or whatever. Like, that's the whole perk about Stadia. I think the worry that a lot of us have is Google will pull the plug if it's not successful by 2023. But if Google is committed to playing the long game, then maybe there will be some, you know, we'll be looking back on these years having a laugh. Like, why didn't we see this coming sooner?
I just think that their idea with Stadia is, it's a good idea, just not for now. Like, it's just like these game streaming services and stuff where it's just not the right time for that. Our infrastructure, maybe in other countries like Japan, where we have like rock solid infrastructure for internet and stuff,
yeah,
and no bandwidth caps, it may be a great idea. In the United States, not a great idea because we have bandwidth caps. Our internet's not fast enough to really drive that, you know, gameplay and stuff. Whereas it, yeah, in the future, when our bandwidth caps are just like, let's imagine unlimited and our internet speeds like a gigabit down or something like that, and we can basically stream whatever the hell we want, that's going to be amazing because then we'll never have to upgrade our consoles. It's always just going to be, you know, the most cutting edge everything. And that's the dream right there. But we're not living in that time period, unfortunately. And so I think that's where the struggle is going to be, is that, one, I don't like the idea of having to buy my games. I think it should be like, you know, especially with a streaming console like that. I think it should just be a library they have access to and you pay a monthly fee or whatever, like Games Pass. But it's just too early and this is not the right environment for it. It's going to be a hard sell when you're getting charged, you know, for going over your bandwidth and stuff like that. And so that's going to be the struggle right now. I think, you know, 5 years from now, when we maybe move past all that and our infrastructure is better, then maybe it might be the time. But by that time, this will probably be dead. It'll be the next thing that comes out.
Phoenix7726 in chat with a very good point, saying the worry is streaming only, and this shit should not catch on long term. Archiving will even be more of a nightmare than it already is. That is true, and it's a completely valid point, Phoenix. I think the only issue is that this is kind of where the industry is going, whether we like it or not. You know, and it does also ask a question like, okay, so we've seen that the movie and the TV industry has kind of gone this way, right? But like, look at some of the stuff like Netflix. What if Netflix goes ass up tomorrow? Where are we going to be able to watch things like Stranger Things? Now, Netflix has done some limited DVD and Blu-ray type of releases, especially for their big shows like the one I just mentioned there, Stranger Things. You know, you can still get that on a more traditional DVD Blu-ray. Same thing with things like Star Trek Discovery and people who haven't wanted to pony up for CBS All Access or whatever it's going to be called now, the Paramount Premiere or whatever they're calling it. There's that. But I'm not so sure that is even going to be the future. That's more of a bridge. What you're starting to see happen now is you're starting to see more nuanced streaming services that offer some of the classic stuff. Like, there are free TV streaming services that show really old reruns. You know, I'm not sure there's that streaming service yet where I can watch old episodes of Mama's Family. Maybe there is. Is it on Hulu maybe? It might be. But I think you're going to start to see more streaming services start to pick up on that archival type of stuff. And I think long term, gaming goes a similar direction. In a way, you're starting to already see it with AntStream, which I know for whatever reason still hasn't really launched in the US yet. And their client isn't on Xbox Series X, even though it's on Xbox One. It's one of those kind of few things that doesn't exist on both. But as somebody, you know, full disclosure, who backed the Kickstarter and got 2 years, even though I'm in the US, I'm able to use AntStream, and that is like a classics streaming service. So a lot of like old, I'm talking old ass fucking Spectrum games and Commodore 64 games you forgot about. They're on AntStream. And I do like that service, and I think there's going to be more like it that are going to archive some of these older things. There's always going to be some things that slip through the cracks, but just kind of like, I guess that's my very long-winded answer to that statement. I'm not saying I like it. I still like having physical collectibles, but Netflix is going to still release things like Stranger Things and the must-have stuff on Blu-ray. But I think our industry is moving that direction, and we have to be prepared that there is going to be more and more that streaming, once more the bandwidth caps and some of these other limitations allow for it. That's where my head's at right now anyway. So Phoenix 7726 says, if they do it in tandem, then I have less of an issue. But I want download still prominent, and I want full physical media, not this half-ass shit where we get or take the GOG solution. Phoenix 7726 says, counterpoint, physical media is far more prominent in movies and music, has DRM-free downloads. And that is true. And you know, limited run games is still making NES cartridges that are selling. So there's always going to be a space for it. But I think an important thing with movies, this is a huge, we don't know yet what's going to happen. But the huge question mark in the movie industry is what's going to happen after the pandemic. Once the we'll have an idea in about a year, because you know the vaccine's going to start to get out there, it will be safe to go to movie theaters again eventually. But the question is, will people do it, or will the release of Wonder Woman 84 on HBO Max and Mulan on Disney Plus, will that have proven to be more lucrative for the movie industry than a traditional movie house? I kind of hope not, because I still like going to the movies. But that's Loki, do you see that could be a real like scary thing for the movie industry? Is that, are people even going to come back to the movie theater once they've been able to watch Wonder Woman at home?
Yeah, I think people will come back.
Yeah. I also come from I have a long-standing love relationship with like cult movies and old movie screenings, and I host Rocky Horror. I've hosted a cult screening of Scott Pilgrim. I was supposed to do Clue the movie before the pandemic, and now it's scheduled next year at some point. And there's nothing like bringing a big group of people together to watch a bad movie. But will movie theaters become a novelty? Have they become too? Are there too damn many movie theaters to meet the demand? I don't know. These are all questions. We're going to find out the answer to in the coming years. So,
yeah.
And Phoenix 7726 says, also drive-ins apparently did well during summer. So this could be a time for an interesting rebirth. Absolutely. They are always threatening to close that drive-in theater here in Sacramento. Every fucking year I hear a story.
I don't think they're going to do it anymore.
I don't think they're going to do it anymore. I really don't. This year, if anybody made money, it was that place. Because
they haven't been there in years. I would say that they probably need to upgrade it, though.
They were going to tear it down and replace it with a traditional movie theater on the same land. That's what they were going to do.
I remember that. And, it was a Century Promenade.
It was a Century Promenade, yeah. Now the question is, is that going to be the cost-effective idea? And I think the answer is no, it is not. I think people have now found out there is a place for drive-ins. We wanted to do Rocky Horror at the drive-in. But it didn't end up working out happening. I think they showed the movies at drive-ins this last Halloween. But it ain't Rocky Horror if there ain't a cast and all the other stuff that goes on with it. It's not the same, but yeah. So yeah, Questbuster says, I hear the same thing. Drive-ins have gotten very popular because of the pandemic. It's the only safe place to do shows. They're doing drag shows at drive-ins now. It's the only safe place. The political rallies that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were doing were at drive-ins. It was fascinating. So anyway, it'll be very interesting to see what happens in a year. Is everything going to go back to normal in that regard, or have some of our entertainment consumption needs changed? I don't know. Anyway, good tangent, you guys. listener roundtable time. Well, that was a good little side topic. If you guys have any other questions or things to ask about or discuss here, send them in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We would also open the mailbag at this point in the show. If you want to send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send emails. Unfortunately, this week, no emails. Sad face. So participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us something for next week. But I will ask if there's any last-minute stories. Loki, did you catch anything?
Yes, yeah, so there was one thing. And so apparently this guy goes by the name of Doppley has released a remake of the two Zelda CDI games. So he's remade Faces of Evil and Wand of Gamelon.
Why?
In Game Maker.
I'm just kidding.
He's worked on them for 4 years.
Wow.
Released them and then took them down because of, I think he's worried about getting sued or something like that.
Sure.
But they're out there if you know where to look for them.
He put them up long enough for people to get it. Yeah, Alan was telling me about this before the show tonight. So I know this is a thing that's going around. And it's not an emulator for the CDI discs. It is, I ripped things from the CDI discs and built this in Game Maker, basically.
Basically,
yeah. Bobby Blackwolf with a plug for Awesome Games Done Quick saying Wand of Gamelon will be part of that. I thought it was Awesome Games Done Quick. Just teasing. Oh, yes.
Well, it's part of the awful block.
It's part of this. I think they call it – is it Silly Games? They call it something that's not, like, demeaning to the games. They call it Silly Games. Oh, Silly Games is – oh, it is Awful Games. Well, all right, then it's starting the awful block, I guess.
Yeah, it's the awful block because all they have like Superman 64 and the CDI games, and I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I don't know if Pepsi Man is part of the awful block, but a lot of silly stuff like that.
Dr. Tsuya says, if Nintendo goes after it, would that count as acknowledging the CDI Zeldas? Ooh, it does put Nintendo in an interesting paradox, doesn't it? I think they'd still have to probably shut it down out of, you know, protecting their trademark and that whole thing. And making sure they never make a deal like that again.
Sorry, like, no fan games. Yeah. It's like, no, this is actually official. Oh.
So I referenced it earlier in the show, but I'll mention here during Last Minute Stories, there was that whole kerfuffle going on with Uri Geller. The guy, he goes on TV and does, I think he was bigger in the 70s and 80s. He's basically a magician, but he claims to be, you know, tuned in to the psychic stuff. And Ben Spoons, that was his big thing. You like Ben Spoons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember that guy? They had a show.
I've seen some stuff on
he had a reality show, Phenomenon, I think it was called. I remember it because that guy, Chris Angel, who is really unpleasant, was on it too. And like him and a contestant like fucking fought. Which I thought was weird. But yeah, that was Uri Geller. Anyway, the point is, he had apparently got into it with Nintendo like 20 years ago over the character Kadabra. You know, there's Abra, Kadabra, Alakazam. Well, Kadabra has a spoon, and in the anime and shit, like he does, like he has the spoon in his. And apparently, the Japanese name is something like Uri Geller or something. It's like something that's very similar to the guy's name. So like Nintendo basically kind of had to admit, yes, it was partially inspired by him. And so they took the character. Kadabra has not been in the anime since then. They don't even have the cards anymore and all this. Well, this past week, Uri Geller basically said, I'm dropping it. And he apologized. He's basically saying, I'm sorry for this 20-year-old issues. I'm now lifting the ban. And if Nintendo wants to remake the card, they can, but they're going to have to do it. I imagine it will make the cards more valuable, LOL, basically. And so not sure what brought him to have a change of heart. Perhaps he had a grandkid or a kid or something say something about it, maybe. I don't know. It could be anything. But yeah, it was kind of an interesting piece of news to come out of nowhere after 20 years that, the Pokemon Kadabra can exist again thanks to Uri Geller. So it's kind of interesting. So
that is interesting.
Yeah. Act Deft in chat says, like, it's good that he finally gave in, but it was pretty shady of him to actually promote himself while having a change of heart. Yeah, it a little bit, but he did have a change of heart, so there's that. Plus, a lot of things you have to really sell yourself when you're one of those types of people. You know what I mean? It's about the personality. Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out the other games in the awful block. Wand of Gamelon, King's Quest Mask of Eternity, Pinobee Wings of Adventure, Epic Dumpster Bear 2, He Who Bears Wins, Snow White and Happily Ever After. Oh, God. That's right. Didn't they do a sequel to Snow White in the 90s, and then they did a game based on it, and it was fucking awful. I don't think it was a Disney thing either. I think it was like the rights to the book became public domain or something. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, because the same thing happened with Oz. Disney got the rights to Oz, and they made Return to Oz, which was not well received. But if you were a kid in the 80s like me or Loki, I don't know if you remember, that movie scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. That was a fucked up thing to show kids in the 80s.
When you start a movie with an asylum and electroshock therapy, and then a woman that, you know, is able to take off heads and stuff like that, it's a little creepy.
That was creepy. Anyway, yeah, exactly. And let's see, the other game. Sorry, we got a tangent thanks to the Snow White sequel. Alcatraz Prison Escape and Mr. Bones. So there you go. And Bobby's confirming that the Snow White game was a Super Nintendo game. Yeah, that's about the right time frame. Because I think I remember being in high school and it was like a big ass deal. They were releasing a sequel to Snow White, but like, I don't think it was Disney. It was another company that did it, and it was garbage. It was a garbage movie. It was really bad. So anyway. All right. Any other last minute stories? Oh, if you guys have any questions for us in chat, now's a good time to shout it out.
No, I didn't really have anything else, I think.
Okay, that's fine. Let's see, looking at some other comments in chat. Bobby's saying it was obviously the overnight block. With my luck, that will be one of my shifts because I said I like Sierra games. You know what, Bobby? I would be honored to do the King's Quest Mask of Eternity. It's bad, yes. Is it awful? Maybe. I don't know. I think, Bobby, if you get King's Quest, I think you should smile and accept that. All right. let's see. Some folks talking about Pepsi Man. Oh, thank you, Rama. Rama found it. MeTV is the streaming service with Mama's Family. At MeTV.com. Thank you. ActDeft in chat says, in Mexico, video game news, the Mexican government is finally releasing their version of the ESRB, and it's like, really? Wow, that did take a long time. That was a little bit delayed, wasn't it? All right, awesome. All right. Anyhow, all right, I think that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys very much for tuning into our show this week, whether you listen live here at Twitch or you downloaded us on the podcast feed on iTunes or Spotify or most of the places where you can find podcasts. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about our show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then you don't have them here. So thank you again to those of you that are here, those of you that auto-host us on Twitch. Thank you. That goes an awful long way. Thank you to all the new follows and bits and subs. I'll acknowledge those after the credits tonight here on Twitch. And just thank you for being here. I know it was a busy week with the holidays, so appreciate you guys still being here tonight and making room for OLR at your dinner table. With that, I think we'll go around and get final thoughts. Oh, before I do, though, I have to mention this. My God, I should have mentioned this at the top of the show, and I forgot. But I want to make sure here at the end I acknowledge our shop. We have a brand new – I know why I didn't say it, because we said it a lot last week and we were kind of like, okay, you don't have to sell it so much. But I do want to mention over at the VOG Network shop, over at vognetwork.com/shop, we now have some OLR-related items. And Loki, again, you're finding this out here because I just put them up about an hour before we went on air. But your OLR pixel art that became an Xbox official avatar years ago, which sadly you can no longer get. But that OLR pixel art is now available as a sticker, so you can make anything OLR. It's one of those nice, it's actually cut in the shape of the OLR logo with like a white border around it. So it's a really nice looking sticker. I kind of want to get one of those. So you can make anything OLR. And we have some OLR pixel art shirts, and you can put them on. And I picked a different shirt than the Vogue shirts. They're a little more expensive, but they kind of look like a baseball jersey. I think they look kind of cool. So we'll see if anybody takes interest
in
those.
I'm totally getting one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, ActDef says, I still have that OLR Xbox avatar on the Xbox profile. Me too. Thank you guys that still rock that. There's a Bobby Blackwolf one out there too. But again, you can't download them anymore. They were, and it has nothing to do with the fact that we aren't on All Games anymore, because it was a pack of All Games. All the shows on All Games at the time had like a gamer pick that went to Xbox Live. They pulled it after like 4 years or something like that. So it was available for a long time, but sadly not anymore. Very few of the people are even rocking the old school type of avatars, because ever since Xbox released their version of the Miis, their avatars, that's kind of what a lot of people use now. So it's very, very rare you see the old school stuff. And SSGO100 Matt says, please put the stickers on personal items and not random folks' property. Yes, please do not use the sticker as graffiti, because that just makes us look bad. So thank you. Akuma JP says, need an OLR mug. It's coming. Wait, I'm waiting for Loki to finish the Vogue pixel art that matches the OLR one, because we're going to do a mug that has OLR on one side and Vogue on the other, both in pixel art. So that
all
is
right,
coming.
I'll work on that.
It's coming. All right. All right, that's it. We're going to wrap up. Oh, we didn't get final thoughts. Sorry. I just remembered to put that plug out there. We are going to make a mug. Pixel Pacas, there is a Bobby Blackwolf mug available in the store right now, however. And, you know, Bobby is absolutely worthy of showing support to as well. So check that out anyway. VogueNetwork.com/shop. Okay, I'll stop the advertisement. Let's get to final thoughts. Loki.
So I'm just going to be working on my game this week, and I still shooting the launch this year.
All right. My final thought is, the new Pokemon Go level should be this week. So I hope I hit 41 by next week. We'll see. We'll catch up on the show. Stay safe, everybody. If you did have a big Thanksgiving out there because you weren't able to get out of family obligations, even though there's a pandemic going on, please limit your interactions out there in the real world at least 10 days. Really, 14 is even better. Please do your part to help stop the spread of COVID-19, because it's everywhere, you guys. It's pretty pretty scary. So, you know, if you have to stick to yourself and play some video games for a couple weeks, there's really never been a better time. So that's it. Stay safe, everybody. We'll be back in 7 days to talk more video games and more stuff here on OLR. Jamie will be back. We have the exciting straight shit from YYR Games. So very excited to get that as well. So it's going to be a busy December here at Vogue Network and OLR. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogueNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.